can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell. Dead air. Broadcock. I think I'm back. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Amerjackson. My voice is a little hoarse because I think I got a cold. I'm leaving the show anyway. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We are worldwide. Lately, these last 3 days, the rating's been through the roof. Thank you, Canada. I think you know who you are. Well, I'm sure there's other people, but there's a main person. Thank you. Today's subject, holidays hookups, holiday hookup, boo. We talked yesterday. Some people say it was a depressed talk regarding death, loneliness, divorce, how to deal with holiday depression. Well, there's another part of it, too. Holiday hookups. Right, boo? You know, I don't know about you. I'll let you in a secret. We got a big family. Once in a while, we'll go back east. We'll go to Baltimore, Virginia. We pass Virginia. We'll go to Baltimore, D.C. We have some pretty good-looking cousins, really great-looking cousins. And it was kind of fun to see them. And they were like, you know, your age, you know, a year apart maybe. Whatever. Big titty cousins, you know. The kind that's illegal in Kentucky. Well, not really illegal in Kentucky. I mean, okay, it should be. And then friends. And then they bring over. One thing is embarrassing, I'll admit it. There'll be some ski trips. Oh, my God, the snow bunnies. Whew. I mean, your kids. You know, your libido's going crazy. Bing, 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 bong. Boing. So holidays could be fun. Did I ever hook up with my cousin? That'll be the next show. How to love your cousin and not get arrested. Or love your three-headed baby. Or that third eye doesn't look that bad. It'll be another show. But today is holiday hookups, boo. And we're going to listen to some of these women who are professionals about hookups or relationships. They're black women. And get down with that frown. Yeah, I think of these things. I know. Get down with that frown. I thought of that. How do you navigate the holidays in a new relationship? It's according to a listener. Here, according to a listener. I wrote this and I'm thinking, what does that mean? And I just wrote it. How to navigate the holidays in a new relationship. According to a listener, that's how I'm supposed to read it. Her name is Stephanie. Stephanie says, how about this rule? If you've been dating for less than 6 to 9 months, you're not in a relationship, but rather a friend who is having sex. Does it have to be 6 to 9 months? I know that normally a year is still a honeymoon, but if you've been dating, she says, if you've been dating less than 6 to 9 months, you're not in a relationship, but you're rather a friend who is having sex. Lady, sex does not, I don't know what denote means, but that's what it says, denote. D-E-N-O-T-E, denote. Where's Melissa? I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. A deep-seated connection that represents commitment, an invitation to family events, peace and love to all and more. Yeah, I guess is a good point. When do you invite your sex partner to your family holidays and introduce them to people? I mean, if he bangs you really good and you're in love, but he's not really in love, do you invite the guy, or she could be a lesbian, the girl? What stage do you invite them to meet the family? Now, if you're a girl that has a tattoo and you may have a crack problem and you meet a decent guy, I say right away. I mean, that's your credibility. I mean, but normally, when do you invite the guy that you're just banging to the family holidays? Or that hoe that you're banging, and when do you invite her? It's not the holidays. Holidays. Okay. Sometimes I crack away. It's not the whole. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to talk about that. There's a lot of stuff going in the news right now. The first thing is really disturbing. People are getting all upset regarding the Supreme Court justice, and I don't know what's going on. Do you know who Jenny Thomas is? Okay, Jenny Thomas is the wife of the Supreme Court judge, Clarence Thomas, as we call him in the black community, Uncle Thomas. Only black people will get that joke. Don't worry about it. Anyway, she's raising eyebrows because she just donated $15,000 to the Republican PAC, including Trump's campaign. And the libs are saying, we're demanding answers on this as well. And if you wonder what's going on, some people think it's unethical that Clarence Thomas, who is the black judge, if you don't know. I mean, with a name like Clarence Thomas, you should know he'd be the only black judge. But just in case some of you guys are colorblind and you live in a gray area, they said it's unethical that Jenny Thomas worked to overturn a free and fair election. It's unethical that Clarence Thomas would continue to rule on cases about the 2020 election despite her involvement. So here it goes again. I'll read a couple of, but they're trending. She's trending. That's why. She's trending. Britney's trending. I don't know why Britney is trending again, but she's trending. This guy named Adam Cohen, he's a lawyer for good government. He gives you some points. He gives you some bullet points. Jenny Thomas can't donate to the GOP and try to overthrow the government, while her husband, Clarence Thomas, can issue rulings in case investigating his wife. Why is this okay under Scottish, when I say Scott, S-C-O-T-U-S, you know what I mean, ethic rules? Okay, first of all, there's no such thing as ethic rules, number one. Number one, there's no ethic rules, and it's a committee that people don't really take seriously in Washington. It's one of those stupid committees that, you know, it's just right with women who bake cookies for Congress. There's no such thing as ethic law or ethic rules, okay? This is one of those social bullshit. So don't get caught up in the minutiae and the bullshit. Who gives a fuck that this woman is donating to the Republican Party? I think she should. If she wants to donate. See, here's what I get mad at with the Democrats. Cut it out. What are you being aligned with the small stuff? This is what makes you so petty and whiny and just cringy. The Democrats are just cringy. You know, I know we lost only a few seats, but only because they hate the, because the Republicans have nothing they stand for. But just, this is what gets me to Democrats. I'm thinking about getting, being independent. Maybe I'll move to Canada, and then I'll vote for the Prime Minister Trudeau. I mean, that guy's a good looking guy. You ever see that? You ever see that bitch? I mean, that guy is it Trudeau? I always get him mixed up with the French, the French guy. Who's the French guy? And then the Canada guy. I think he's Trudeau. That's a pretty man meat bitch, that Trudeau there. You know, I'll just vote for him. I think we even got another Trudeau. We got a Gavin Newsom. That's a pretty boy. And I'm not a gay man. I'm a straight man, but I recognize pretty. That's what I do. That's what I point out. Pretty bitch up there in that prime minister in Canada. Women just go crazy over them. I mean, I heard in Canada that women had to buy new underwear every time he does a rally because it gets all wet and everything and all wrinkly and they can't wear them again. And the underwear sales go up in Canada. I should buy stock in the underwear world in Canada. Trudeau is a sweet-ass bitch. What a good-looking man. So let Jenny do what she wants to do. She's a Republican. And when they talk about ethics committee, there's no such thing. It's a made-up committee. So don't take it seriously. Nobody cares. Really, being a politician in Washington and you have ethics, that's a funny joke right there. It's a funny joke. Stop it, Democrats. Pick your wars. Pick your fights. Stop it. It's not necessary. Stop. Ralph Reiner was trending, too. Ralph Reiner, it seems, Ralph Reiner is getting upset. It seems New York DA Alvin Bragg, this is according to Ralph Reiner, has revived the Stormy Daniels campaign finance case against Donald Trump, better known as the unindicted, hopefully soon to be indicted, co-conspirator number one. Couldn't happen to a more corrupt guy. See, you see, Republicans, you had a shot. You got two shots. You had two shots. And you didn't take them. The first shot was McConnell. When Trump stormed the Capitol, McConnell could have held him up for impeachment. That would have stopped Trump from ever running for a government office again. He didn't take the shot. He didn't take, and what's it good for? Absolutely nothing. Ooh. Okay. Because Trump and McConnell are still fighting, and Trump is bad-mouthing him and bad-mouthing him. McConnell should have took the shot and got rid of Trump and banned him from running office ever, but he didn't take the shot. He didn't. Here's a woman. She's a black patriot. She says, Joe Biden condoned months of rioting, and Kamala Harris helped bail the rioters out, and they still have active accounts. Trump did not lead an insurrection, and no matter how many times liberals say so, it doesn't make it true. You are a hypocrite. Now, this person has the right to her opinion, as wrong as it is. Because this is America, and this is how it is. This is how it is. So there's another person who posted. It says, I wasn't expecting Donald Trump to act this way. There's a young Donald Trump with a woman with a big hair and big face. I don't even know who she is. It says, while in college in the 1980s, I worked at Jim McCollum's in New York City on the Upper East Side. One night after we closed the restaurant, Donald Trump came in with his then-wife, Ivana. Oh, that's who she is. What an ugly woman. What a big face. With his then-wife, Ivana, their kids, and their friends. In total, there were about 12 of them. Jim asked me if I mind serving them, and I said I didn't. So he opened the kitchen and joined them. The check was about $1,300, a lot back then. Jim said, no check, and brushed me away. When I bussed the tables afterwards, some 2 hours later, let me see if I can read the whole story because it cut off. Wait a minute. Nope. It cut off. I don't know what happened. Oh, it was one of those I gotcha things. If you want to read something else, you have to read all these other stupid stories. Well, anyway, I think she wasn't expecting Donald Trump to tip her big. That's the end of that story. Okay. Well, anyway. Now they got me live on the air. Some 2 hours later, under Donald's plate was a neatly folded something. So I guess she got a tip from Donald Trump. That's it. And there's one more before we go on with the show. You know, I did not notice. So I think Amazon will not be with us that long anymore. Amazon, Alexa. You're counting on Alexa, you know, the voice activated prompt that you ask everywhere, people that listening to them. They lost $10 billion. Here's a story. Amazon Alexa is reportedly on a pace to lose $10 billion this year. $10 billion. As a voice assistant, never managed to create an ongoing revenue stream. Amazon is currently undergoing its largest ever round of layoffs with plans to eliminate 10,000 jobs across the country. 10,000 jobs. I got a feeling some of those stores that you guys were, you mayors and governors were trying to woo Amazon that would create these jobs and that you didn't, and you got rid of mom and pop stores because Amazon was coming. Look at you now. You're laying off people left and right. Amazon, and you know, at first I thought, you know, when I was a kid, the for sure jobs were working in the post office. That was a for sure. Working for the government, for sure thing. You'll never get laid off. You'll never get laid off when you work for the post office. So I thought being a tech person was a for sure thing. You know, mama, don't let your babies grow up to be tech support. I like that song. It's true. Because Amazon is on pace to lose $10 billion this year on some devices, include its voice assistant Alexa. Employees on the Alexa voice technology team are reportedly the primary target of layoffs at Amazon. The team working on Alexa was one of the most supported by Jeff Bezos because it was his brainchild. Bye-bye, Alexa. I don't think I have an iPhone. Who do I have? I got Siri. My burner phone is Shaniqua. Let's try it again. Let's try that again. My burner phone is Shaniqua. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. $10 billion. Bye-bye, Amazon. What happened to Alexa and Echo, people were asking. Alexa and Echo lost around $5 billion in 2018, according to the New York Times. That same year, 10,000 employees working on Alexa and Echo lost their jobs. 2019, the hiring for that team was frozen. Bezos stopped engaging with its development group. Bezos gone. Bezos' new thing is his rocket ship. You know, do you realize if Amazon goes, and Twitter's doing the same thing, do you realize if these are the two things that you really got to think about, Amazon and Twitter. What are you going to do when Amazon goes? Because it may go. It may go. I mean, how's that going to affect your life? Because this is serious. This is not even a joke anymore. I mean, I don't know what's Elon Musk is doing. I think it's purposely. I think he, you know, when you have a business that's failing, and then you just light a torch to it for their assurance, does it seem like he's just trying to destroy that company on purpose and write it off? Because he's having some problems that he's a smart businessman, and these kind of problems just don't happen to smart businessmen, billionaires. It doesn't happen. It's too obvious. Twitter says lawsuit over layoffs lacks merit and has delayed severance pay. Twitter Inc. has told a federal judge in San Francisco that a lawsuit claiming the company violated U.S. law by laying off thousands of what? Without notice is baseless and moved to send the claims to what? This is so stupid. So the people at Twitter are suing Twitter. We're saying that it's against the law to lay them off. The court filings made late Monday mark Twitter's first response to a proposed class action suit, which was brought earlier this month under a federal law requiring 60 days notice and mass layoffs. Twitter has laid off about 3,700 employees, half its workforce, and hundreds more have resigned since the company was acquitted. Let me tell you something. See, this is the difference between pussy-ass men and the thinking of, I'm not going to go, I'm going to give the Gen Zers, I'm going to give them some credit. I think this is millennials. This is how you raise your children. This is how you raise your children. These are the millennials, motherfuckers. And now they're doctors and lawyers, and they're your doctors and lawyers and whatever, and your health care depends on it. They're your nurses. But they're raised up with this idea. Everybody gets something. Nobody goes it alone. Individually bad. Originality too bad. We should all have a group. Nobody should stick out. One fail, we all fail. No. This is what this kind of mentality, it destroys the world. So now you got them grown up and you got them suing the company because they're laying people off. This is the stupid part of these kind of people's mind. And then if that's not dumb enough, you got people sabotaging their own company, being whistleblowers, and all that bullshit. And it's like, and then you're telling people, okay, we're going to quit. Okay, you quit. Then you complain about quitting. Twitter has laid off 3,700 employees, half of its workforce, and hundreds more have resigned. Hundreds more have resigned since the company was acquired by Elon Musk. Hundreds. You cannot tell me that this is a job thing. You cannot tell me if this is not a personality thing. And, you laid off my friend, so we're going to take you down. Like, we're going to cancel you, like a social media canceling thing. Hundreds more have resigned because the company was bought by somebody else. This is the mind of the millennials. This is what's destroying our country. On Monday, Twitter said it had met its legal obligation. Oh, hey. Hey, Sarge. How you doing, kiddo? Welcome.
Oh, I'm doing all right, man. I've just been listening patiently to you, and I'm still awaiting your explanation and your evidence that Trump led an insurrection. Anytime you have the evidence, I would love for you to explain it to me and highlight it to me, because I've been assiduously studying this issue, and I see no evidence whatsoever that Donald Trump led an insurrection against the government of the United States. Zero. I'm like, give your evidence, though.
Then, okay. Well, my evidence are, I'm going to tell you that my evidence is insinuary. I'm just saying it's insinuary. It's insinuary. It's not fact-based.
No,
I mean, you cannot. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I just read this thing with the Twitter thing. The way we think now, the millennials think, did Donald Trump take his people, pick up a sign, and lead them to the Capitol? No. Did Donald Trump say, you know, let's go to the Capitol, let's burn it down, let's kill some people, let's take over?
He's playing patriotically present. That's what he said. Now, you could say he didn't mean it, mm-hmm. Would you please say what he said?
I could play what he said. Take it easy. I was trying to be on your side.
I'm perfectly willing to entertain your argument that he didn't mean it. But you cannot say
you want me to argue that he didn't mean it. Wait a minute. No, he meant okay. Wait a minute. Let me just get through this. because I got a feeling you're ready for this debate. You really are ready for this debate. But this is going to take. Okay, I promise we're going to have it. But I really need you on this other story, and then we'll do it. I promise, because it's not a headliner. I didn't headline that one because I'm thinking of the holidays. But I do want to hear that debate with you, and I will have it with you. But just be patient with me. But, Sarge, do you agree with me that the millennials the millennials think differently? The millennial men and women think differently. How can hundreds of people resign? 100 people can't resign from a company. You resign from a company because your friend quit or your friend got fired. This sounds like a personality bullshit thing to me. It really does. And, you know, you may not like the owner. How many people, if you're working right now, chances are you never met the owner of wherever you're working right now, or the stockholders, wherever you're working right now. And if you did come in contact with the owner of whatever you're working right now, you're not in conversation with the guy or her. You don't even know him. You don't know his politics. You don't know nothing. But because he's Elon Musk and you know a little bit about him, it becomes personal. He bought the company. Yes. He bought the company. He's your new boss. Elon Musk got pissed off and the left started attacking him because he started firing people who were saying bad things on his own platform. Can you imagine that? You buy the company. And then you're tweeting how stupid he is and how crazy he is and how unhinged he is. And then you get surprised that he fires you and you get pissed off? I don't understand the thinking, Sarge. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. See, I think we raised a whole generation really wrong and stupid. Hello, lovely girl. Look at this lovely. This is Cinderella. Hello, Cinderella. This is Sarge. Hey, yeah, your little pumpkin pie. I'm sure we're looking at your little pumpkin pie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's sweet potato. Sarge is in the studio.
Good morning, but, Sarge.
Melinda,
I can't hear him today.
How you doing, baby darling? I'm good.
Don't you try to sweeten the jury. Don't you sweeten the jury. Hey, how you doing, man? You go to the jury. Hey, how you doing, boo? Hey, where you?
Kanye West.
You don't sweeten the jury.
Is running.
Huh?
Kanye West is going to run for president.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Are you serious? He tried that, didn't he? He tried that last year or 3 years ago, didn't he?
Yes.
So, just to siphon off some black votes from Biden, it didn't work. Holiday hookup, booze, this is our story. Holiday hookups, boo, we have the experts in here. We have the experts in relationships in the studio today. We got Sarge and we got the lovely Melissa. Melissa's been married for over 500 years. She knows.
600.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Feels like it. She's an expert, and it's still working. It's still working. And Sarge is running around. He was in a great relationship, and now he's Pip Daddy Sarge. So he's running around dating, you know, running around loose everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Holiday hookups. How do you know how to navigate the holidays in a new relationship, according to a listener? We already told you this. How about this rule? This is from a woman. How about this rule? If you've been dating for less than 6 to 9 months, you're not in a relationship, but rather a friend who is having sex. Ladies, sex does not denote. I don't know. Maybe that's a misprint. I'm going to say count. A deep-seated connection counts. That represents commitment and invitation to family events. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. And then we're going to leave some time for Sarge to attack me, like the Republicans stormed the Capitol, regarding the insurrection. He's ready. He's ready. He got his facts. He's ready to go. We're going to, and I text Melissa and I text Laverne. Hey, Laverne. We got about maybe 3 more days of live shows left of the Brian Hammer Jackson show. I know we're going to hear, aw. I'm thinking about changing the format of this show or maybe leaving the airwaves. So you got 3 more days of me. So if you want to come in the studio, let me see. Nope, that's not it. Come in now and you can talk to me.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be a different format. It might be, I'm sorry, Melissa?
Yeah, especially people that haven't been around for a while. You know, it would be
right.
Nice to hear them. Right? I know Pat was active on your thread yesterday.
Sure.
And it would be great if she comes in.
I'm undecided.
You have a tie?
Yeah, I'm undecided.
You have a little tie?
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Ahead.
Oh, I talked to Ty. She's doing good.
Did you?
It's 319-527. Oh, yeah. Little Orphan Tie. 319-527-6099 is the number to call in and go on, come on this
even
format.
Ellen and Rudy would be nice, right? Ellen and Rudy? Rudy Judy?
Well, Ellen
right?
and Rudy are doing their own little thing. I don't know. Of course it'd be nice. Of course it'd be
but
nice.
But it just takes a minute to make a phone call. Sometimes Rudy would come on, you know?
Sure. We used to make phone calls on this show. We don't do it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
We had fun, didn't we? Didn't we call these people
yeah.
up?
Some
we
of
had
them
fun.
Were like, oh. Oh. Oh.
The best call that I'm going to make, Sarge, we used to make live calls. I know. They were cringy calls. I mean, when you say cringy, for instance, it was a stupid, these themes were happy sex day with something it was some sex day, celebrating sex day.
Yeah.
So we decided to call. She was so nice, man. I just wanted to hug her. We decided to call the nuns in Boston. And she had this heavy. Were you there, Melissa? She had the heaviest Irish accent you ever heard in your life.
Yeah,
were you there,
really
Melissa?
Sweet. I was. She was really
she
sweet.
Was so sweet. And we wanted to call her to wish her a happy sex day. And she just went, oh dear, thank you. She was just the sweetest person ever. Just this, I wish I could keep. I wish we had those calls, and I could do the compilation of them. So they were funny calls, weren't they?
They were
cringy.
The suicide hotline. Oh my God.
The suicide hotline. Or the one with the Tampax, with exploding Tampax,
we
called these people. And I said I was going to take the Tampax out of my 16-year-old daughter. She goes, sir, no,
terrible.
Sir, don't you.
That's
horrible. Oh, my God. No other shows did that. We had some fun.
There was some fun. Absolutely.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could copy. So bottom line is I might come back or I might not. If I do come back, it will be a different format. It will be more of a podcast kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Can we still have guests come in? Well, yes, but it won't be this attack forum kind of type. It would be more of a control talk.
Yeah.
More of a, not anybody talking over each other. It'll be more of a podcast. A lot of it will be, I'll be doing it a lot, maybe late at night and running it, you know, with sound effects and stuff. But some of it will be like we're doing now, but it will be more controlled talk, professional
yeah.
talk. So if I do come back, it'll be
possible?
That. Yeah, I've been thinking about it the last 3 weeks, and I've been building up the format for the last 3 weeks. And here's the kicker. I think, and here's the surprise. We are going to go live, so the radio show will probably be more of a podcast,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to go live. This is going to be
yeah.
in February, and I'm going to announce it. It's going to be live
okay.
stream on Facebook. It will also be a live
okay.
stream on YouTube, the YouTube channel.
Oh,
I'm looking into
cool.
it since thank you. Mm-hmm. I think Melissa mm-hmm. mentioned something about Twitter. I did not look into it yet. But
yeah.
it may go live, if it's
you
possible,
said
go live on Twitter.
What did I say? Spaces, was it called Spaces? I think it's gone, which was great.
Oh, is it already gone?
Callers, I guess so.
Or he's trying to monetize it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Probably.
Well,
we still got
YouTube.
Yep.
And it would be, and in my mind, it'll be live. You'll be able to see me.
Yeah.
I will have guests on, psychologists, and like we did
that.
How we
you
started.
Into everything. Yeah. You can use all
mm-hmm.
kinds of StreamYard, Zoom, you know, all that.
Sure. I'm going to look at all kinds of things. And you're going to see
mm-hmm.
there on the big screen, and there's going to be commercials and sponsors and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. I'll be introducing musical acts. Like today, our
mm-hmm.
musical act is King Web. Don't get hooked on our web.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to do the format on that. And it'll be more like this show.
Mm-hmm.
I will take callers, so you get on the air. You don't have to be seen on camera if you don't. You have the option of a voice or camera. It'll be like this format. But you'll be live on the air. You can see the reaction of people, meaning me.
Yeah.
And when I do something
That's
stupid,
cool.
you'll see me laugh like a little child and fall over. I'll be wearing different outfits,
really?
Like high heels and stuff, in a boa, like Liberace.
Nice.
Liberace with a cowboy hat.
No,
hello.
Little Richard, right? Yeah.
Little Richard, woo! So that'll be that on the live stream. So I guess you can just say this format moves to live. You know, it's live. It's SNL. You know what I mean? So it'll be that kind of format. How's that? Bigger and better, right? So we're number one in Blog Talk, and we'll be number one in hopefully a stream. And in the morning, live on YouTube and Facebook. How's that?
I assume this regime
okay.
will commence at the beginning of next year?
Yes, sir.
Sounds very interesting.
Taking it to another level.
It sounds very interesting. I look forward to your new concepts.
Thank you. I'm hoping you'll be part of it, Sarge. I really am. And see, what gives me energy, if you ever hear my energy comes alive when I'm talking to you guys, when you guys sign in, my energy goes up. When I'm by myself, my energy level, So the new format, it will be live. Sarge can call in and see me and make his comments and come at me. And you can see my reaction of the Harikari with my sword and putting it right through my heart. I can only do it one time, though, so don't miss that show.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll be your second.
We're
going to
break
it. Yeah, I'll be your second.
Go.
I'm standing
there
right
you
behind
go.
You with a katana ready to lop your head off.
I can always count on you.
It's kind of painful, and you kind of tend to start screaming like a little biatch. So I'll scream and head off real quick.
You know, I can always count on you. It's everything I need to have in a friend. But we're going to introduce new acts. There'll be new musicians and comedians are going to be coming on and doing their 2-minute set. So think of it as a poor man's Tonight Show, maybe. As much as I can. What do you guys think? So I'm coming up with that. It should be interesting. It'd be chaos.
But it sounds quite ambitious. Are you up to the task?
Yeah, I need a new challenge. I need a new challenge. I really do. I mean, to me, in my head, I don't fail unless I feel like I fail, meaning that if I'm thinking I'm doing a great job and I'm getting reviews, I boo. See, what I don't like, and that's why I don't like the chat room, a lot of you guys will go into a blog talk with a chat room. I do not like it because I think it's red meat for trolls to try to upset the show or to change the show into another direction, and it's distracting. So when thinking about going live, I'm going to have that. And I'm not ready for that. I don't like that. And I know I cannot mute people, but I just don't like the live chat that's reviewing me. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, trolls a little bit. I got to admit, trolls can be irritating. I mean, people who just disrupt for the sake of disruption, not for the ones who actually want to throw a challenge that's legitimate. They
right.
just want to disrupt because they enjoy disruption. They're agents. Dare I say it, are there agents of chaos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. You're right. I like that. They are. So enough of the blah, 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 blah. All I'm saying is that it's going to be, we're moving up, different format. Hopefully that you, some of our good friends, especially you, Sarge. I know Melissa and Laverne and the little nurse angel out there will always be there. And that's what I'm hoping for. And you can see us rise to a different level. Like I said, comedians will have their set. Entrepreneurs will be able to sell, you know, commercial spots. You know, just stuff like that. And then I'll be working on... Yeah, I am taking a vacation for 2 weeks, starting December 5th. I promise my baby. And in that 2 weeks' time, I'm going to finish writing the script, and we're going to have a radio show, Sarge. You know, remember back in the old days where they used to have their radio plays, like the Long Ranger and stuff? So I'm finally going to finish the script of They Come For You.
Being like Green
the
Hornet
radio play.
And the Phantom and
yes.
all that stuff?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
So you're going to revive
so I'm
going to
bring that back.
1930.
I am. And I'm going to bring it back, and I'm going to finish the script while I'm on
back in to fill in the lack of visual cues.
I still think there's some people out there that, I mean, if you really look at the movies that are coming out, they're horrible. They're crappy.
Oh, no.
I know it's a pandemic. The movies won't. It's just, I mean, how many ripoffs of Marvel can we watch, you know? And Steven Spielberg's movie looks shitty. It's just horrible.
It's getting the Marvel is really tired. I long ago gave up on Marvel. I don't care what they're coming out with now.
Exactly.
I mean, it's becoming repetitive and tiresome and chaotic, if you will. I know it's fantasy, and fantasy to some extent is going to be chaotic, but, I mean, there's no rules to it anymore.
There is not. Nobody, they don't care.
What they call it, the multiverse?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not very interested anymore. I used to be, but not anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to test it out. I'm creating, I'm creating two little storylines for Big O and Little Sean. These are Melissa's grandkids. And also I'm going to try to do it for that sweet nurse in Canada, too. She has some great candy. And they're little nursery rhymes. They're little stories, and I want to send them the audio file so they can go to sleep. You know, little baby bedtime stories and everything, just to test it out. Because if it works out, I do want to do, like you're saying, the old thing, like the Green Hornet and Long Rangers. I want to do a thing for kids, too. You know, I want to get into, you know, little stuff for kids. I'm creating I'm creating the Gopher. He's going to be the new character. He's a gopher.
Guy,
you get it?
On.
He's a gopher. Huh?
You used to have a guy come on that had been an actor in Westerns. Do you remember him? He was an
Yeah, I remember all
very
those
much
guys.
Older man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is going to bring out, when I was in Louisiana and I used to do shows in Louisiana, they used to have a voice group. and I wanted to do something for them. They asked me, can you do something for them? And I didn't know how to do it, so I created the gopher character because he goes for this and he goes for that and he goes for this without thinking. There's always a moral to it. He's the character. You know what I mean? His name is Gus. Gus the gopher.
Yeah.
So I'm creating some stuff for little children while I'm away too. Little stories.
It's a Wonderful Life too, remember?
Yes. 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 I wanted to do that. We were gonna do a sequel of It's a Wonderful Life and what happened, but it didn't format because whatever. Yeah, we did It's a Wonderful Life for like 3 years, 4 years straight. So
last time I went,
there you go.
Man, was beautiful. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It was fun.
We have fun.
That was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. It was live. It was fun with the play. Yeah. Hey, It's a Wonderful Life. Okay, we got you back.
Fun.
Curtain call. We had a lot of fun on the show, Sarge. I'm going to see if I can get Gus the gopher script up and running and his character and what he looks like, fuzzy little gopher. I will send some preview readings. Melissa could give me the review, and there's a nurse in
Canada that can
give me a review.
Why not a groundhog so you can kind of do Groundhog Day?
Yeah. That's cute.
He may have a... I didn't think about that. It's his day, his special day, like a birthday, huh?
Just make sure you don't let De Blasio anywhere near the poor little bastard.
That's what I call him, poor little... Groundhog Day, the poor little bastard. Yeah, his special day, right? His special day.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarge, you just gave me an idea.
De Blasio killed him a little quick by dropping it, remember?
and don't forget the possum, the rabbit possum, gets shot by a .22 in the head. All right.
You know how horrible it is to die of rabies? Once it's at that point, they're going to die.
I'm joking. I do know that. I do
and
know
I
that. I do know that.
Unnecessary suffering.
I know you did. I know. I'm joking. I'm with you on that. Everybody's with you on that. Everybody's with you on that, Sarge. I saw a rabbit squirrel once that scared the fuck out of me. I was walking, I heard this. It was a rabbit thing, and I kept walking. And it kept following me along the light. You know, really rapid, really manic. And I look up, and it was
man.
A squirrel, and he was all foaming at the mouth. His eyes were going in the circles. I really was scared because I thought that motherfucker was going to fly off the high wire, come down and on my head because he was checking me out. I would walk more and he'd go, and it was like a horror film. Now, here's this grown-ass man, 6'1", 250 pounds, black man, started running like a bitch, and there was a squirrel up top. And most people driving by could not see the squirrel. They just see the panic on this man's face, you know, running down, and this girl going, and I ran in my house. Scary shit. Scary shit.
You were wise to, man. All it takes is one bite, and you're infected with rabies, and you don't want to go through that shot regime you got to go through with rabies. Ah.
I know. I know.
Awful.
I know. Right
well,
in the stomach.
You're actually wise to run from the crazy squirrel. Or else pick up a big stick so you can play cricket with a squirrel, using a squirrel as a cricket thing, whatever.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, but, man, you think that's crazy, though. Have you heard the latest what's going on with the armed forces now? You know what the armed forces are being sued over?
No. What?
They're being sued for barring people with HIV from enlisting. And they've accepted this lawsuit in the... The lawsuit was filed on behalf of three plaintiffs. Isaiah Wilkins, a 23-year-old black, gay, cisgender man. Carol Coe, a 32-year-old Latina, transgender lesbian. And Natalie No, a 32-year-old cisgender straight woman of indigenous Australian descent living in California, according to a Lambda Legal press release. All three of these plaintiffs are HIV positive. So we all know what the armed forces needs is people with HIV because that makes you more combat effective when you've got a serious, chronic, and lethally infectious medical condition.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all we need in the most important single federal agency in the United States, the Armed Forces of the United States. That's what we have to have. Now, epilepsy, asthma, physical deformities, missing appendages, bad vision, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart issues, those are, and more are all reason to bar you from enlistment. Even sleep disorders can get you barred from being enlisted. But think about it. If you're a recruit in the armed forces today, you're not allowed to ask about HIV. Now, you go figure, huh? Why is that? You think maybe there might be something afoot here, maybe to weaken the armed forces of the United States? Is it possible, maybe?
Mm.
We are living in a time of madness I thought I'd never see in the United States, ever.
Something seems wrong with that. I had
something is wrong with
her grandson just finished the Forge. I don't know what that means, but he, young kid.
I mean, think about it for a minute. You know, the one thing you need a lot of to be able to do on the spot, if it's necessary, because you can't get supplies of blood plasma, they often volunteer people to get whole blood and put it in wounded people. That is common when blood plasma supplies are either short-circuited or unavailable. So they just ask people to give whole blood. I think about the implications of that for a minute, to knowingly accept someone with HIV in the armed forces. It's crazy.
Well, they shouldn't be allowed to donate.
Wow.
Right?
They shouldn't be allowed to enlist.
Diabetes
isn't as lethal as HIV, and you're not allowed to enlist if you got diabetes. It's manageable.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what this is. It's politics.
What a world we live in.
You know,
what a world we live in.
I agree. I agree 100% because I was saying I understand the LGBTQ when it was a movement. But now it's a weaponized political weapon, you know what I mean, for the movement of the gay rights. And it is weaponized. I mean, I agree with Sarge with the politics and everything. I'm not saying anything against it, but they tried to weaponize the hashtag MeToo was a political weapon, too. So, I mean, in that kind of format, social format. I agree.
I'm going to say something against it.
And
it's
the
fascism,
Democrats are not helping
and it needs to be stopped. It's fascistic.
Well,
it's the worst form of United States style fascism and bullying. And I think these people need to be opposed tooth and nail to the last breath.
I think it's more millennial than it is fascism, how they think. I was talking, it's true. Millennials, everything's accepted. Mental illness is accepted in the millennial community. Let's help everybody. No bullying. Don't be an outcast. Don't shine light in somebody's imperfections. Those are the things we live on. We laughed at big nose Nick and big ears. And the Italians had the right attitude. What did they call them? They call them like no neck, Nuzio, and big pussy. And they made the names, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Italian, the mafia made the names. They all had their little names.
Gigante. You know, Vince the Gin Gigante.
Exactly. they had the little names.
Had
the chin.
Yeah,
the big chin. You know, and it just makes you unique. See, but when we started to put a law against bullying, and they really wanted to stomp out something that was so natural. See, it's, bullying is natural to us. It is.
Sure.
And it may be cruel, but it's natural. We all, when we grew up, we knew about that creepy lady or the creepy old man who lived around a corner or the cat lady with all the cats out there and whatever. It's natural to point out certain differences to a person and give them a name. It's natural. The lady with the beard who lived down the street that made the great cookies. It's natural. So when you try to make it law to not bully, and I don't know what bullying is calling them a name or something or make the other person feel bad, that's when our society began weak, because we can't even have a conversation because we're afraid that if we say something, somebody feels bad about it. Now we're criminalized. Now we are no good. I mean, you say this, I say this, and it's like, I think, you know, Halloween is the best holiday. And I said, no, I think it's Thanksgiving. Oh, you just don't. Oh, I don't like Halloween because it supports the witches and dead people, and that's Satanism and everything. It could get into the weeds really quickly. That's how sensitive we are. It could get into the weeds.
Well,
we've had that in our building.
Bullying wasn't bad for me, Brian, because in a lot of ways it made me get tougher because I got tired of getting my ass kicked all the time.
Exactly.
So I learned how to fight, and after that, I was relatively safe from being bullied.
Right. And, you know, except I can easily say that, except for deep in a hood where there's some people who are getting bullied right now, and they're getting bullied with knives and threatened with guns and threatened with killing your family.
Yeah,
is that being bullied, or that's
is that a threat?
Is that a, you know, but if somebody threatened my family, I do what SARS do. I'm getting a gun. If I get too young to get a gun, I'm getting into martial arts, and I'll be throwing some stars like Bruce Lee. I can go all crazy and shit. Be Bruce Leroy.
But I just don't understand.
They want
the bullying to only go one way. They bully, but they don't want you to push back.
Because a bully becomes a bully. They're more of a bully than the bully.
Yeah, you should see what... You should watch Tucker Carlson from last night, man. He laid it all out into these people. You know, with the pushback, with transgenderism, in response to this nightclub shooting. Man, he held nothing back, laying it out against these people. You got to see what he said last night. It was really... I mean, it was so straightforward and forthright, and I was amazed to see the level of frankness with which he addressed it.
Who is this again?
I mean, he didn't milk toast, he didn't pussyfoot around. He got right to the point that these people got to be opposed. They cannot be allowed to get away with doing this unopposed.
But what was his stance?
I mean, first of all, who are we talking about?
Tucker Carlson last night in his response to people who were saying that
Tucker Carlson.
Transgenderism and child sexual mutilation are guilty of, as they put it, stochastic terrorism against the transgendered community.
But what is the mutilation?
And
he pushed
as hard as I've ever seen him push back.
Right. Well, some people think
so. I thought it was masterful. I was really grateful to see him do it the way he did it.
Well, see, here's where I stand, Sarge. I may not understand people who want to transition to another sex. I really believe in my heart it's mental illness. But they have the right to do it. And they have the right to be left alone. They have a right to be as an individual, to take the steps that they want to be as a human being. Why is the government's business about... I don't think the government... See, here's the problem. I don't think the government should pay for it. A lot of these people went into the army to do this transition, and they caught onto that scam for the government to pay for this.
Yeah, and they need medication for the rest of their lives. What the hell is our armed forces doing something like that for? That's madness.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. But
assume a liability because someone has a mental disorder and they want the government to pay for the rest of their lives. That's crazy.
I agree.
I'm just going to say that.
But as far as the individual goes, they have the right to do. Anybody has the right to do what they want to do.
But Brian, I have no desire whatsoever, no matter what I think of it. Since I believe in liberty, I have no desire to stop
right.
a mentally competent adult from deciding to sexually mutilate
right.
themselves. That's their business. What I am objecting
right.
to very specifically is doing it to
right.
adolescent children, frequently by short-circuiting the relationship they have with their parents, and to a great extent or altogether keeping them out of the decision. I object to being told I can't say it's a mental disorder and it's a sign of fascist activist bullying when I see it all around me. I object to that, not to adults making a decision about their own lives. That's why these people have to obfuscate the issue, and all this talk about stochastic terrorism and contributing to the murder of transgendered people and their oppression, because they know damn well what it is. We can all see it with our bare eyes, and we don't need to be hectored and bullied into how we're supposed to think about it. They really hate us having free thought. They cannot stand it. I mean, it's like garlic to a vampire, these people, these activists at every level.
Melissa?
Brian? I ain't never seen,
yeah.
I've never seen nothing like it. I believe in liberty. And
I know.
An adult can make the decision for themselves. But don't tell me that our school systems have to be complicit in
yes.
it for minors.
Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a problem. Melissa, how do you feel about that?
I don't understand why people can't see the distinction. I do see why, because they want to shut us up.
Well, it's not that. It's the cult.
Explain to me.
Go ahead.
Okay, the shooting was tragic, okay? Why is it turned into this? Because I'm behind it. What are they saying?
Because it's always a political thing. Everything stuff that happens.
It actually has a genesis. It actually has a genesis. And it started out with the Frankfurt School back in the 1930s in Germany. There was a group that got together at the end of the First World War, and they couldn't figure out why international Marxism didn't take hold everywhere. It took hold in the Russian Revolution with the Bolsheviks. But they thought that the slaughter of the trenches in the First World War would get rid of all of it and lead to a complete overturning of the system in favor of worldwide international Marxism. They couldn't figure out why it didn't happen. And they identified centers of gravity that were preventing it from happening. Here's what they said. And there was people, there was intellectuals in Europe at the time like Georg Lukács and Herbert Marcuse and a guy named Gramsci in Italy and a whole bunch of others. They're all a bunch of intellectuals. They're all Marxists. And they said there were these institutions that were standing in the way of the implementation of worldwide Marxism. They were number one, first and foremost, on their list of things they had to subvert to implement worldwide Marxism was the family. Number two was religion. Number three was institutions aligned with and supportive of patriotic and nationalistic fervor. And they identified all of these institutions, said we have to subvert them, weaken them, subsume them, and co-opt them so we can implement worldwide internationalism and Marxism. They specifically laid out a plan. One of their progenitor intellectuals is a guy named Herbert Marcuse. Herbert Marcuse was one of the ones who fled from Germany in order to keep out of Hitler's purges, and they formed the Frankfurt School in the United States, and they called it the Institute for Social Research. Herbert Marcuse wrote a book called Eros and Civilization. It was real big on the campuses in the 1960s. And Eros and Civilization has as one of its main tenets and theses. Remember, this was huge in the mid to late 60s on all the college campuses across the United States. Huge. A lot of people don't know about it, but you need to go look it up. Eros and Civilization is the name of it. And what Herbert Marcuse said was he came up with a theory called polymorphous perversity. And that's in the book. And polymorphous perversity is any number of sexual regimens that are either frowned upon or obscured, hidden, or you know, not approved, generally speaking. And these had to be unleashed on society so society could be truly liberated. It's all written down in the book, what the plan for it all is, and it's coming true now. Now, if you'd have said that back in the 60s, they'd have called you a conspiracy freak. Now, he wasn't the only one, but he was the most prominent intellectual advocating these positions. Read Eros and Civilization. I read it. The blueprint is there. It's being implemented right before our eyes with things like this lawsuit that I just told you about. The armed forces is the most important single federal institution in the United States. There is no single federal institution more important to the United States survival than the armed forces of the United States. It has to be weakened in order to make it a better partner for the global community and whoever knows what has to be done in order to implement international governance, which is the new form that international Marxism is taking.
Well, there you go. And you've heard words like fascism and Marxism on this show. And a lot of you young whippersnappers, yeah, you little kids, don't know what that means. Well, fascism, it's like, think of the Nazis. It's an authoritarian kind of right-wing system of government.
No, it isn't.
And some people say, well, yeah, it is. Fascism is like the right-wing system of government and
social
organization.
Title, Brian.
Not left-wing, right-wing.
Socialism. When the Nazis came to power in Germany, they subverted every conservative institution in Germany, the monarchy, the Reichstag, clergy. They went after every conservative, the Junkers officer corps, every conservative institution in Germany, the Nazis uprooted. They were revolutionary. They were not conservative.
Oh, okay. Well, kapsa. Let's just say fascism is an authoritarian.
If you look at many of their programs, it sounds like your left-wing liberal of today.
Whoa. How can you call the Nazis left-wing organization?
They believe
Stop
in
it.
Affirmative action. They believe in social security. They believe in veganism. They believe in animal rights. Look at their program. Don't believe me. Read what the Nazis said they wanted to implement.
You just turned fascism into a left-wing conspiracy thing, and
ashamed
of yourself.
They wrote their objectives down. I don't have to cite conspiracy theories. You want me to give you the various bureaucracies, departments they created to implement their version of the New World Order? They wrote it down, Brian.
No. Okay, I know the theory of the New World Order. I do.
No.
Look, I'm not arguing. I'm just trying to explain to
them. Germany to become.
Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, when you hear these words, Marxism.
I'm a fact believer. History.
I know you're not. I know you're not.
I've done a great deal of research into the Third Reich. The Third Reich was not conservative by any stretch of the imagination.
But it's usually associated with, like,
the Hitler Youth was like the young pioneers in Russia or the Soviet Union. It was like the Red Guard in China. There was an embedded difference between the Hitler Youth and the Red Guard.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to tell people that when you hear words like Marxism, it's usually more like Karl Marx, communism. Think Karl Marx, communism kind of thing. That's how they got Marxism, from Karl Marx. If you don't know who Karl Marx is, you should really look at your history book. Actually, I think he was a great leader. And if anything was left-wing, was Karl Marx. Marxism is left-wing.
Brian, the progenitor of modern-day fascism is generally acknowledged to be Benito Mussolini. Benito Mussolini was a despite all of his...
I know he was, but wait a minute. I just want to finish this thought before you go to Mussolini. But Marxism, if you really think I'm communist, think of your Social Security. Your Social Security check or your Social Security, if you're living on Social Security, that's part of Marxism right there. That's it's almost a communistic kind of social economics. Which you would not agree, Sarge. That's so I'm trying to get
oversimplification, but I get your drift.
Okay, let's move on. But Sarge is right, though. Let's move on. Here we go, because the show's going away.
Before he developed the theory of fascism, he was a communist. He was the editor of a communist newspaper. He was aligned with Marxist movements in Italy. And the reason he decided to forego communism was because of his internationalist nature, and he was an Italian patriot. So he wanted to adopt most of the tenets of international Marxism, but apply them to Italian nationalism. That's the real only difference between fascism and communism. It's not internationalist. It
okay.
is localized to that region or that country. But they believe in allowing private industry to exist, but they want it to be under state control with regard to its output
mm-hmm.
and its direction. Other than that, they're pretty much like
okay.
communists.
Okay. Well, there you go. And to move the show on, because I do need Sarge, a new meeting, Melissa, and I do need everybody else in the studio. We're gonna start taking polls as of tomorrow. I don't even know what tomorrow is. Tomorrow's Wednesday, right? Okay, good. I'm going to try to pull up a poll, so we'll just read our own polls here. If you'd like to come into the show, it's 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. Come to the Hammer Show. We got Sarge in that studio, and we got the lovely Melissa, who is just on the cover of Beautiful Maine Women. That's it. That's a real magazine. Beautiful Maine Women.
Man,
they got all the
like
women in Maine.
Oh, let me see that. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Melissa's all dressed up, and then it has a centerfold of her and those little string bikinis. Wow. And her lovely little
What's
butt
name
right on the beach of Maine.
What's the name?
Beautiful Women of Maine. Beautiful Woman
oh.
of Maine. And yeah, Melissa's there. Look at her, showing her boobs and all. Just very with the little spaghetti string top. She,
right.
I think she had a it's nice to look at that magazine. Look at that. All right. Here we go. It's a new segment here that we're going to have, and I'm hoping it's going to work. Before we get to the main thing, you got to stay and listen to the Holiday Hookups According to Black Women. You're going to love that segment. That is our main segment. But first, we're going to do the news, and we're going to call this segment News. What the fuck? That's going to be our segment, and pretty soon I will get the sound effects on that. News, what the fuck? These are real news stories that are happening now. And we're going to comment on them. Sometimes we have to keep the news news and not opinionated news, you know? These news stories affect you in your life, and if you haven't heard them, you should be aware of them. If you're not aware of them, we're going to play it, just a couple of them. It's like news, what the fuck? And here it is. This segment is called Welcome to News. What the fuck? These are true news stories that are happening around your neck of the woods, and we're just listening to them so you can know what we know. What? Okay. I'll get the sound effect later. Here we go. You know, I'm going to play this. This is Tuesday, November 22nd. Did you guys hear about this Colorado spring shooting? I mean, what the hell's going on in Colorado? What happened? Well, here it is. According to ABC News, this is what happened there in Colorado.
Teacher club in Colorado Springs and left five people dead. And we're hearing from the Army veteran who helped take him down. Our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, is on the scene there for us. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Robin. You mentioned that hero. He broke his silence last night. He's a combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and he said his training kicked in. He actually got the suspect from behind, yanking him down, and then he began to pummel him all the while yelling instructions to other...
News, what the fuck? Now, this is the gay bar where the shooting happens. Okay? So it's queer as fuck bar. So you're figuring right now they had to drag... They had the drag contest going on. So our hero took the subject down by behind.
Oh, man.
That's what he said. He took him down by behind. How else would, I mean, here's the story. He took him down by behind, and he got him. News, what the fuck? Here we go.
He's a combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and he said his training kicked in. He actually got the suspect from behind.
I'm sure he had a rock in his pants, and he took this subject down by behind. I was going, oh my, I was in the military. Why am I on this show? Hey, I'm just...
Brian, he did mention his training, and whenever,
he sure did.
One axiom of combat is you always attack your enemy wherever possible at a disadvantage to him. So you would attack him from behind.
Especially in a gay bar.
And whatever it is.
Just in a gay bar from behind.
It don't matter.
Wherever it is.
Get his ass at the most disadvantage.
You get,
so
according to you, Sarge, you get his ass at a disadvantage in a gay bar. Okay. All right. Well, here it is. Here's the story.
Matt Gutman is on the scene there for us. Good morning, Matt. Hey, good morning, Robin. You mentioned that hero. He broke his silence last night. He's a combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and he said his training kicked in. He actually got the suspect from behind, yanking him down. Then he began to pummel him, all the while yelling instructions.
I saw this in a gay movie once, and I accidentally hit the link. He got him from behind, and he pummeled him down. USA. 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 Here's the rest of the story.
I'm glad the guy was there. Good for him. So we ought to be, we actually ought to extol him for his actions. I mean, that's first rate.
Sure. Why not? Here's the rest of the story.
Patrons to get the gun away, to call 911. He said in that moment, instinct told him it was kill or be killed. Overnight, the man police have called a hero speaking to reporters.
I wasn't thinking. I just ran over there. Got him. I gotta kill this guy. He's gonna kill my kid. He's gonna kill my wife.
The decorated 14-year Army veteran, credited with saving dozens of lives during the nightclub massacre in Colorado Springs, now describing the moment he took the gunman down.
I grabbed him by the back of his little cheap armor thing, and I pulled him down. I grabbed the pistol from him, and I'm on top of him. I'm a big dude, man, and this guy was bigger. And I just kept wailing on him. He's trying to get his ammo, his gun.
Fierro, along with his wife and daughter, were at the club supporting a friend. They survived, but his daughter's boyfriend, Raymond Green Vance, was among the five killed. 19 others were wounded.
There are five people that I could not help, and one of which was family to me.
22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich was arrested on 10 preliminary charges, including five counts of first-degree murder and hate crimes.
Typically, there will be more charges in a case like this when we do formal charging.
This Ring camera footage showing him surrendering to police in 2021 after allegedly making a bomb threat against his mother.
What?
Those charges were later dropped,
what?
His record sealed. And that, authorities say, is what allowed him to legally purchase that AR-style rifle, which he would allegedly use to murder Ashley Paw, Daniel Aston, and Raymond Vance Green, along with Kelly Loving, whose sister says she was always fighting for people, and Derek Rump, his mother telling us her son had a heart of gold. The rifle's bullets also striking patrons like Ed Sanders.
I got hit in the back, and it felt crunchy, like a mini explosion, and I turned around and looked at the guy, and then I noticed that he had a gun and he was shooting.
Sanders shot again in the leg, and Kelly Loving fatally wounded, both of them falling on top of drag queen Wyatt Kent.
I stuck my hand out and I grabbed her hand and I just kept saying, keep squeezing my hand.
They fell on drag queen. Bitch, get off my throat! No, he didn't really say that.
Well, you know what, though? What I find interesting about this, I read about this guy, Richard Fierro, and all this, and again,
right.
I want to emphasize my praise for him taking positive action in a situation where everybody else was probably running in circles and screaming and shouting. This guy true to the kind of officer he probably was decisive and immediate. Like when you're getting ambushed, you train to react in a certain way. You're getting ambushed, you run into the ambush because they got you in the kill zone, and you might as well do the best you can before you get killed. So you don't run away from the ambush, you attack into the ambush. That's the way you train. And he did it just that way. Great for him. But what I found curious was this. He was at a gay club with his wife and daughter watching a drag show.
Yeah, you got that too? Did you get that too?
Yeah, I caught it all right.
Did
I
you
kinda
get...
shook my head, but I said, again, I'm glad he was there and his courage is undoubted.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to say...
But each person was there with her boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
I don't know. What's wrong with these pictures? All these heroes are they seem like heterosexuals. I was there with my daughter's boyfriend.
Wife,
he got killed. It's like, yeah, it's like, okay, what's going on here? But, All right, let's listen to the drag queen, the queen mom at the Q Club. Here we go.
Falling on top of drag queen Wyatt Kent.
I stuck my hand out and I grabbed her hand and I just kept saying, keep squeezing my hand, baby. Keep squeezing my hand, baby.
Kent believes the two...
Is that a code? I mean, I was just picturing, I would tell her to squeeze something else. Would it be wrong if I put her hand down my crotch and told her, keep on squeezing, we're going to get you help. Just right there. You know, that's my hand. I don't. Why do they have to announce his title? Why do they have to say drag queen so and so? Why can't they just say so and so? But they wanted to announce. Why does he have to say fell on drag queen so and so? Isn't that kind of odd? It's like saying, we fell over Wilder Walden.
Remember what I said earlier about all of this? What I said earlier about polymorphous perversity and the importance of trying to make it normative. This is the reason why they extol their sexual identity over and above almost everything else. They want to make it normative. They don't want you to criticize it anymore than you talk about if you were a priest. That's the whole point of the exercise.
Yeah.
Is not to downplay it. Now, there's another thing.
Here's the end of the story.
There's nothing, too, Brian, that I think is really curious about all of this. Now, you realize that... this guy, the suspect, Anderson Lee Aldrich, the El Paso County Sheriff's Office responded to a bomb threat just south of the Colorado Springs Airport on Rubicon Drive in the Lawson Ranch neighborhood. The suspect at that time, this was in 2021, that Aldrich did not comply with the deputy's order to surrender. It was reported to the sheriff's office he had a homemade bomb, multiple weapons and ammunition. A tactical support unit was called in. 10 homes were evacuated in the surrounding area, while an emergency text notification was sent out to homes within a one-quarter-mile radius of the address. The regional explosive unit cleared both homes, did not find any explosive devices. They took this guy into custody, booked him to El Paso.
Sarge? Uh-oh. We got a technical difficulty? I don't know if Sarge just left, but he's still here.
There
you go.
You're there.
I'm here. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah.
Sarge?
You're welcome.
I can't hear you. Thank you. And don't forget Melissa's new magazine cover, Beautiful Ladies of Maine. There you go. It's worth the purchase. Have her and her spaghetti two-string bikini on the beach of Maine and the sunny beaches of Maine. There you go.
Yep.
A little lobster and a little Melissa.
Some snow this weekend. Yeah.
I are you kidding? I know. I've been seeing the weather. Oh, my God. Wait just a second, sweetheart. Sarge, I can't hear you. I still see you, and he's probably talking. Call back in, Sarge, if you can hear me. Call back in.
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go. There you are. There
yeah, I don't
you
know.
Are.
Something's really weird
Sorry.
With this sort of thing lately. I might just call back in on my cell phone. Maybe that'll
No. You're fine now. Don't take the chance of calling back in. Who knows? You're fine now.
Okay.
You're fine.
All right, but you did hear the part I said about this guy was confronted and arrested for threatening people with an explosives device and resisting arrest.
Right.
Felony menacing, 3 counts of first-degree kidnapping, and he's on the loose in 2022 because of the pro-crime, no bail policies, I think, in Colorado that they're enacting.
Well, I think so, too. They have this thing called, and I do believe that. But we got to move on because I need you two for the holiday hookups. Let's see, blah, blah, blah.
They want to blame us for stochastic terrorism, and they got the terrorists in custody, and they don't prosecute them and put them in jail.
The pandemic got everybody fucked up, you know.
I've had it up to the tip of my neck with this nonsense.
I know. I know. We have that problem here in California. They're releasing prisoners. They don't want people in jail. District Attorney Gaston is releasing felons and people with minor, things.
Yeah.
Out.
But
it's a pandemic.
Really
and so this guy, if
you
really...
They want to blame us for it when the authorities who now are the politicians doing the blaming have the guy in custody and don't do the right thing to protect society from it.
Well, he didn't do anything. I mean, if you really think about it, he made a bomb threat. It wasn't a bomb.
Kidnapping? What do you mean he didn't do anything?
Who did he kidnap? I don't remember this. His mother?
He was charged with.
Did he kidnap his mom?
Because what he did was he claimed to have a bomb, and when the SWAT team responded to it, he had people holding. In regard to the bomb threat.
Who? I didn't know about the people he was holding. I just thought it was his mom.
Again, that's why he was charged with kidnapping. And again, evacuated homes in the area.
Yeah. Well, you know his mom didn't press any charges. And again, it was the pandemic. And
it was just
a threat. So I could understand.
And the bomb threats? I mean, good God, those are major felonies.
You could get those on Twitter.
Press charges or not.
I know, but again, when they're releasing people from jail and everything, that's just a threat. And his own mom is not one of the top 10, you know, most wanted people in the city to put in jail. So at that point, it was just a threat. He didn't really do anything as far as, and his mom probably didn't press any charges. So I can see why they're not really going after this guy. The prisons are already full as it is. We don't have, I did a story on this about 2 weeks ago that there's not enough judges to see these people and give them indictments and give them their sentencing. They don't know what to do. So I can see that happening. I mean, I have to give him a pass on that one, Sarge.
Whatever it is, the solution is not to blame us for our valid critiques of what is going on in society. You don't blame the people who object to it on First Amendment grounds. You at the very least ought to go
after
people doing a crime.
I agree. Well, here's another murder case right here. This guy's an ugly fuck. I think he should be locked up because he's an ugly fuck. There should be ugly fuck. I mean, there's people who they're pretty challenged, and then there's people who purposely make themselves stick out. You know, tattoos on their faces, and you know, murder, and you get the picture. How more menacing that they want to make themselves. You get the picture. So this is about a double murder in Delphi. Here we go.
The man accused of killing those two teenage girls in 2017 is due in court this morning. A judge ordering 50-year-old Richard Allen, who was arrested just last month, to appear in person. Alex Perez is in Delphi, Indiana, with the latest. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Today could be the day the public finally learns more about suspect Richard Allen, what led police to him, and why they charged him with the murders of Abby and Libby. Now, 50-year-old Richard Allen was arrested last month and charged with killing 13-year-old Abby Williams and 14-year-old Libby German. At the time of the arrest, prosecutors asked to have court documents sealed, and it remains a mystery what evidence exactly led police to arrest Allen. But today, a judge has asked Allen to appear in person for a hearing to determine if some of those documents could finally be made public. Investigators have been hunting for the girls' killers since February of 2017, when their bodies were discovered not far from the hiking trail where they were last seen. Authorities had previously released this image of a suspect they say was found on Libby's phone. For nearly 6 years, police sought the public's help and sifted through more than 70,000 tips. Allen's arrest, the first big break in the case. The prosecutor in this case has said in the past that keeping those documents sealed is integral to the investigation. Allen already has a court date set for March of next year. Michael?
All right. Thank you so much, Alex.
Huh.
Okay. All right. I have no words for that. And,
It's a huge case.
Since 2017. It is.
It's one
it
I
is,
haven't
but...
followed. I couldn't tell you too much about it. Two young girls were murdered. And they've arrested a suspect, finally.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
But
it's really...
They only arrested him because he was in the phone. There's no... Was there any evidence that he did it?
I don't know.
See, that's the thing. It's like you get these cold cases, and okay, well, this is a strange man who's on their phone, and we're going to invite him in. I heard the word invite him in. Did I mishear? We're going to invite him in to talk to us? Melissa, stay on that one.
I will.
Sammy School on the job on that one. Sammy, thank you, sweetheart.
Not,
Sammy School's
sure.
on the job on that one.
I follow other cases, but this is one that people have actually been arrested on the internet for own research, and they were bothering families, and because they have these people that are kind of, they call them internet sleuths, and they take things into their own hands.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It sounds more like a political witch hunt to me, but interesting. In 3 years, it was 17. But it was 17.
Mm-hmm.
We're at 22.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
5 years. And this guy was on the radar. I'm sure it's a cold case. And I don't know. To me, we'll see what happens. You know, people were wondering about Jay Leno.
Oh, yes. You know, he's from my neck of the woods.
And, he is.
And, Mike's father was a police officer. Mike's dad was a police officer where they lived in Andover, Massachusetts. And he actually arrested him when he was a teenager. Yeah.
Oh, that is funny. It's a small world. Well, here it is. Here it is. Here's the story, the latest on Jay Leno.
Leno, he's discharged from a California hospital more than a week after being severely burned in a garage fire. The first public photo since the accident reveals significant scarring. Our newest correspondent, DeMarco Morgan, is in Los Angeles with the story. Good morning, DeMarco.
George, good morning to you. Jay Leno was out of the hospital and on the road to recovery after suffering significant second and third degree burns. And for the first time, we're taking a look at those scars and a picture taken at the time of his release.
This morning, Jay Leno is all smiles in this newly released photo, the first image of the star following that devastating car fire, standing with medical staff after being released from the burn center. Those second and third degree burn wounds he sustained to his face, chest, and hands visible to the eye. As Dr. Peter Grossman writing in a statement overnight, I am pleased with Jay's progress, and I am optimistic that he will make a full recovery. The 72-year-old comedian, hospitalized for 10 days after a flash gasoline fire, left him with deep third degree burns. The former Tonight Show host undergoing at least two surgical grafting procedures.
Wow.
His next step to recovery will include follow-up care at the Grossman Outpatient Facility.
He definitely has serious injuries, There are potentials for scarring. There's a potential for some dysfunction in some of the areas that he's injured in.
Leno, whose name remains synonymous with late-night TV and comedy, is also a car enthusiast.
They fit in any car we have.
The host of Jay Leno's Garage, he was working underneath one of his steam cars when gas ignited on him earlier this month. Leno's doctor remarking on the high spirits he maintained while suffering from the traumatic accident.
There are children in the unit, and he's delivered them cookies and good wishes, and he's really been an ideal resident in the burn unit.
At a press conference last week, Dr. Grossman says he expects Leno to make a full recovery, but it's still too early to tell if there will be remnants of that injury.
Then why say you make it too early?
You can't see it, but if you see the picture, just pull up the latest on Jay Leno and Google that and put news, and you'll see the picture they put up. First of all, it's a creepy smile that he did. His hands would just look like it's third-degree burns. It seemed like there's burns from his chin.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it was grafted to almost to his cheek. It's not the Phantom of the Opera kind of thing. I was expecting, you know how your face is all burned and the eye is all bugged out and everything. It's not that. I was really expecting the worst. But that's painful, man. And it's even painful in the future, too. You know? It is.
Yeah.
That is a painful thing. And his hands are all burned up. So I don't know if he's going to be able to shake hands. It's one of those creepy things that you shake hands with. Shake hands with the burnt hand. And, God. I went out with a girl once who burned herself.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I'm glad he's going to make a good
what's that?
Recovery.
I am, too.
He's
Kate lives it.
Yeah.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Me, too. One last one.
Jay Leno strikes me as the kind of guy that can weather this kind of thing if anybody can, you know. Being self-deprecating he is, and, kind of a regular guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I think he's got probably, based on what I know of him, he's got the right kind of attitude to recover from this.
Yeah.
True.
I agree.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see him with the Phantom of the Opera mask, you know, for the making light of it.
He'll make a lot of jokes about it, doubt about that. That'll also be a good way for him to cope with knowing his personality. Yeah. He's going to make all kinds of jokes about this. Just watch.
Well, another celebrity came back from burns. Remember Richard Pryor when he was...
He was not talking about it either.
Pretty basing. Yeah.
Yeah,
when he was running down the street on fire.
Constantly talking about getting burned up.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and Jay has so much money, he doesn't even have to work anymore. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, here you go. If you're a big fan of
cars either, because he loves working on cars.
He does, man. He really does. If you're into reality stars, Todd and Julie Christie. You'll love this story.
Who?
They were sentenced to prison. Todd and Julie Christie.
I saw. Yeah.
They were sent to prison. Here you go, reality people. Here's your little dose of it. I mean, you know, how narcissistic do you have to be to be a reality star and have people coming into your homes and your life that you think your life is so interesting that people must see this, and that you are a reality star with four other people, but you have to have the top story all the time, so you do something outrageous so you could be the top of the drama that week. You know what I mean? I mean, how sick is that?
For family, it never seems to end well.
Right.
Especially for
families. It don't. Right, because...
Mm-mm.
You're already in chaos, and, well, here it is. Here's the story. Reality stars Todd and Julie Christie, they were sent to prison. Here's the story.
Stars Todd and Julie Christie, sentenced to prison on federal fraud charges for failing to pay taxes while earning millions from this show. Christie knows best.
Yeah.
Todd Chrisley was sentenced to 12 years, Julie to 7 years. Ariel Rush, if you're with the story. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning to you guys. A twist there, hefty sentences. Their show, Chrisley Knows Best, followed the lives of Todd and Julie, seemingly loving and tight-knit family, but federal prosecutors say the couple are actually career swindlers who have made a living by jumping from one fraud scheme to another, and now they are facing years behind bars.
I'm going to put my pajamas on because I have had a day from hell, and it better not get any hotter.
This morning, TV personalities Todd and Julie Chrisley waking up to a new reality. A U.S. district judge sentencing the couple to a combined 19 years in prison on charges including fraud and tax evasion.
Julie, I got 5. Where's the other one?
I don't know where the other one is.
Find the other one and lock it up.
Lock it up. The Chrisley Knows Best stars sentenced Monday in Atlanta. Todd Chrisley receiving 12 years. His wife, Julie, will spend 7 years behind bars. Earlier this year, federal prosecutors alleged the couple swindled at least $30 million from community banks between 2007 and 2012, a jury finding them guilty on all charges.
They used that money to have luxury cars, homes, real estate, and it was all based upon a house of cards that weren't true. And now the house of cards have fallen and the Chrisleys are convicted.
Just days before the sentencing, Todd and Julie's son was injured in a car crash. Todd recalling the accident in his podcast, Chrisley Confessions.
All I could think of was thank you, God, because he's alive and crying.
Is this guy not gay? Is it just me? Is it just me? Or is this guy gay? I don't know.
You're not the only one who said that. You're not the only one who said it. I don't know if he is or not.
Yeah, this is a... I don't know. It's just how he's talking, and it's like...
Podcast, Chrisley Confessions.
All I could think of was thank you, God.
All I could think of is thank you, God. I don't know. Melissa?
On a reality show. Her Real Housewives of New Jersey. They went to prison.
Sure.
The wife and the husband for, I think it was tax.
What is going on?
He got deported.
I know. What is going on? Why, you know, remember the old days where they, remember the old days when you commit a crime that you go under the radar and you run away from the law? Not that you sign up for a reality show.
No.
What is going on? What's going on?
People are crazy.
Social media? Is it social media that I want the likes and I need to appreciate the Bonnie and Clyde kind of legendary authority that you want the criminals to prosper and I let you inside our lives and we're playing you as well, we're playing the law? I don't know.
Well,
remember the song Bonnie and Clyde?
Stream the crimes in progress. I mean, it's, yeah.
I know. I know. I was just thinking that. Is this the new criminal that just...
Are we really that surprised? I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really brazen, man. I mean, like, brazenness in criminality, I think, is off the chain today. I mean, the only time you would see... criminality that brazen, like somebody with John Dillinger, he kind of bragged about it when he got caught and all that, you know. He's up there enjoying a celebrity limelight with the press there, taking pictures of him with his arm around the sheriff and all this stuff, and he's got this cocky grin on his face. But that was kind of sensational because it was so rare.
Yeah.
But now,
It's just a new, I'm telling you, it's the millennials. I keep going after the millennials. It's the mindset of the millennials. I was trying to think if this is the song of Bonnie and Clyde. No, this is not the song of Bonnie and Clyde. Stupid. Well, anyway, here's the story. So let's go back to the news. I mean, my God, let me finish the story. Here we go. There we go. I guess it's over.
Podcast, Chrisley Confessions.
All I could think of was thank you, God, because he's alive and crying.
Todd and Julie will both have to serve 3 years of supervised release after prison. They are also ordered to pay restitution in an amount to be determined at a later date. Guys, definitely not the ending people expected.
Not at all. All
right. What a sad, sad thing. Does anybody have Kroger store in their area? Does anybody know about Kroger?
Oh, I shop there all the time.
We have it.
The fuel discount point. And, man, I get a really big discount on fuel prices because I shop at Kroger.
Really? Well, we call it Ralph's here. It's almost like, Melissa, you got a Kroger where you are?
No.
Okay, Sarge. Oh, you don't. Sarge does. Okay. I'm surprised you don't have, a Kroger, Melissa? Wow.
No.
I think Kroger is I think Kroger is more of a southern regional chain than it is up where she lives.
You may be right. Well, here's the latest on Kroger. Get ready for a price hike. Here it is.
And have an ABC News exclusive with Thanksgiving only 2 days away. Roddy McMullen is the CEO of Kroger, the largest grocery chain in the country, and joins us now to talk about what shoppers can expect going into the holiday season. Mr. McMullen, thank you so much for joining us. And we've reported a lot here on GMA about how much more Thanksgiving is going to cost this year with inflation. When it comes to food prices, what categories do you see going up?
Well, when you look, it's pretty broad-based, but if you look at the main part of the meal, turkeys, our turkey costs are up about 20%, but we decided early on to not pass that cost increase through to try to help somebody stretch their budget. So, it's a fine balance, and we're going to do everything we can to help somebody stretch that budget all they can.
And when some things go up, other things go down, so what categories are going down?
Well, if you look at right now, chicken and some of those items are starting to come down. Beef is still inflationary. Pork is still a little bit inflationary. Some of the produce items are starting to come down just a little bit. Just the beginning, you still can always, when you look at our brands, and it's some people call it private label, people can switch to that and help stretch their budget as well.
And as we go, full throttle into the holidays, what is the expected trend for prices through the end of the year?
If you look, we are starting to cycle inflation from last year, so it's starting to slow down a little bit. And, our hope and expectation is as we get early in next year, we'll see that to continue to decrease a little bit. And that's what we look in terms of what we anticipate at the moment. So.
Michael. And you're right there on the front line. So how do you see people adjusting their shopping habits, and what trends are you seeing?
Well, the biggest thing that we're seeing is people continue to eat and cook at home. One of the things during COVID, people learned how to cook at home, and what they found is they enjoy it. They love eating as a family. And what people are continuing to do is just really continue doing that, and it also helps stretch the budget because it's significantly cheaper for somebody to cook a meal at home versus going out to a restaurant. So we would expect that to continue. That's something people are doing. Also, as I mentioned before, people are switching to our brands as well.
Creating a little family time there through dinner. And what suggestions do you have for ways that people can save this holiday season?
Yeah, if you go to our website, we actually shared how 10 people can eat for $50, which is incredible value for the money. And it's one of those things where it's a full meal, everything from green beans to potatoes to your turkey. And, it's really exciting, and we also include some recipe tips in there as well.
Well, 10 people for $50 has put a smile on my face. That is exciting. Ms. McMullen, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
There you go. You know, me and my girlfriend are going to be, we're having Thanksgiving together. No kids, no family, just us two. It's good company. We have a tradition. See, I got upset about 3 years ago. There was a reunion, and we went to San Diego. We stayed in a hotel. It was on a Thanksgiving. I was really depressed because I need to wake up with smells. Ever since I was a kid, mom will put the turkey in at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever and let it sit on. But you wake up with that turkey smell. It's Thanksgiving. For the first time in my life that I had no smells. I woke up it was 3 years ago, and that hotel was a nice hotel, by the way. I don't even know if it was a hotel. It had a bathroom, it had a kitchen, whatever. Really nice. It was $300 a day, and we stayed 4 days. But it was really convenient. It had a refrigerator, everything. But Thanksgiving came around, and it was no smell. There was no turkey smell. And I fucked up Thanksgiving for everybody. I woke up in the morning, there was nothing. This will not happen again. I was very adamant about this. It was tradition, once a year. So my thing about it is that, so then Cindy's kind of a fixer going, well, this won't happen again. I go, I need the smells. Not that, you know, going to the restaurant later or whatever, it doesn't count. I need to wake up smelling that turkey or smelling that pie. That's, as soon as I wake up, I want to smell it. That's it. If I don't smell it, Thanksgiving is over. Forget it. I'm not eating. Fuck you guys. That's how I feel. Now, Melissa, I'm going to ask you, because I know that Mike is a great cook. I don't have to ask you who's going to be cooking the turkey, because it ain't going to be you. You're going to be you're going to be busy posing for your next model shoot, which is Melissa's and my main bait part two. But anyway, Mike will cook. Now, when does Mike put the turkey on when you start smelling the smells? I mean, it's going to be Thursday, 2 days from now. When does that cook?
7 or 8.
When?
Usually about 7 or 8.
Really?
He puts it in.
Wow. Okay. Wow. And when did you usually eat?
Anywhere from noon to about 2 or 3.
Now, Mike enjoys cooking. Now, what do do when he's cooking? What do you do?
Usually I do, like, some casserole stuff or...
Really?
My kitchen's not...
So you're like a sous chef.
Yeah, so he likes to be in there alone.
Yeah, I do too.
Like the night before, we'll do the pie.
I do too.
Yeah.
Ah, so that's your move. That's your move. The pie's the night before. And when you say the night before, how early Wednesday do you put in the pies? Or do you get it closer to, like, in the morning, early morning, before you put in the pies? What do you do?
I don't know. Probably they'll be done by 8 or 9 that night before.
That morning?
No, that night before.
Well, that night before. Oh, that night. Oh, okay. So they're already in the refrigerator by the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the refrigerator, you know, when you're shopping, and my refrigerator is so full right now, and the turkey's in there, I'm fine, you know?
Right.
I'm like, and there's all that stuff. I'm going to fight with the refrigerator.
Our turkey's thawing, too. Yeah. You're going to have a great Thanksgiving. Now, one time we had a bad Thanksgiving. You know, turkeys are expensive, so we went shopping, and I go, baby, it's just me and you. She goes, should we get a small one? Or now, the small one was $10. It was 10 pounds, and I go, too small. Next man up. So we got one. It's only two of us, 12 to 16-pound turkey. And then we're at Kroger's. And then she picked up the Kroger turkey. I go, uh-uh. Had a bad experience with the Kroger turkey. I said, butter my balls. So we had to go to the butter balls. She goes, you really want the butter balls?
I don't like them.
Yes. You don't like butter balls? Really?
No.
What do you have then? What do you take?
I think mine is a Norbest, I think.
Okay. Really? Is there such thing as organic? Really?
Oh, yes.
Now, are you... Now, some people are smoking their turkey. Some people are air fry turkey.
Deep fry.
I'm the traditionalist. Deep fry turkey. No. Barbecue the turkey. No. Put the damn bird in the oven.
You gotta slow broil the sucker.
Right.
Keep the juice
Yes.
I remember my mother putting
the
it
tradition.
In like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
So do
yes.
I.
That's what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine used to do that, too. That's why I wake up with the smells. I got to have
mm-hmm.
the smells. As soon as I wake up, I got to smell something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tradition. Mm-hmm. Sarge, what are you going to be doing for Thanksgiving?
Say that again.
Melissa, your house sounds great. Your house going to sound great, especially with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sarge, how about you for Thanksgiving? What are you going to do? Are you spending it alone with your dog?
Oh, no. My daughter and I have big plans. She's going to put on the food. I'm going to tribute a little cash to her to do it. And we're going to have dinner at home. We're going to go see this movie, Devotion.
Oh, I love to do that.
Yep. So
I do, too.
That's what we plan to do. My granddaughter, my granddaughter and my daughter and her husband, and we're all going to hang out together on Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that sounds
good. Yeah, we're going to
be doing the cooking, Sarge.
She's really interested in seeing this movie, Devotion, so.
Yeah.
I am, too, so
yeah.
We're going to
yeah.
check it out.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Well, here
that
you go.
Like
you know, we all have families, and
mm-hmm.
we know where we come from, right? We could point at a picture if they're not living with us. That's mom. That's dad. Right? We know where we come from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This next story, they don't know. Twins were born from an embryo. They were frozen 30 years ago.
Wow.
That does seem...
What do they do for...
That does seem rather cold, doesn't it?
It
really does.
Yeah.
Wow. Here's the story. Here's the story of the... Oh, look at the twin. I guess they de-thawed them. Sorry.
De-thawed them.
This year.
They're
frozen. I don't know what to say. I guess they thawed out. I mean, how do you thaw out the twins? But here's the story.
Record-setting twins born from embryos frozen 30 years ago. Rhiannon Alley is here with the story about the family. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Robin. They now have 6 children, but the long journey to continue growing their family stretched across the country from Oregon to Knoxville, Tennessee, searching for embryos to adopt, and they're now making history. This couple's newborn twins are record setters.
They've been a joy to have. To us and to their siblings.
Embryos originally frozen in 1992 were successfully thawed, transferred, and then delivered, making twins.
See, I used the word thawed. See, and you guys came at me. They were thawed out.
You said do
you see?
Thawed. You didn't say unthawed.
Okay. Well, you have to simmer. So if you have an embryo, so how long do you thaw them out for? You lay them on a counter for about room temperature for about 20 years? And then I don't know. I don't know how to do this. But here you go. You should see this family. It's the goofiest looking family I ever seen. They're really goofy people. But let's not judge. Let's just listen to the future serial killers of the world. Here we go.
Lydia and Timothy Ridgway, the longest frozen embryos to ever result in a successful live birth. Philip and his wife Rachel are the proud parents of the newborn twins.
We wanted to be able to go in and find embryos that had been overlooked for, you know, reasons beyond their control, that had been waiting for so long for a mom and a dad.
The embryos were donated by an anonymous married couple using in vitro fertilization more than 3 decades ago.
They specifically requested the embryos that had been waiting the longest. They actually felt called to specifically say, we want the embryos that everybody has taken a pass on.
Doctors say there are 1.5 to 3 million frozen embryos across the country waiting to be thawed and transferred. Now the Ridgeways have 2 new record-setting babies to add to their family.
We just want them to always know that they were chosen, that they were loved, that they were preserved, and that God is so good to have done that for them.
The twins now join their older siblings, but when the twins are older, they can brag that they are actually from the 90s. So it's a good thing slap bracelets and crop tops have made a comeback. They can pick right up. Who doesn't love the 90s, guys?
Okay.
Oh, stupid.
Wow.
See, there's this, what the fuck? These embryos were passed upon, so we wanted the ones that people did not want or they rejected. That's what we wanted. And they really think that when these kids are going to ask about their parents and they're going to be really happy to go, oh, we're a product of the 90s and we were thawed out and we don't know who our mother is, and they're going to be really happy to go, ha, 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 isn't that funny? You really think that's going to be funny? No, it's not. Not to these little embryo. Maybe they, you know, the guy is called an embry bro. Hey, embry bro, bro. Hey, jokes are free.
I can understand
the embry bro.
I can understand freezing your sperm, but I just can't see freezing an embryo. That is really creepy, man. That's like science fiction creepy.
I know. It is, isn't it? And they're twins.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you begin? See, scientific stuff can be cruel. And why were they there 30 years? And I can hear these creepy parents. You know what? You were chosen, that's supposed to make them feel better. That nobody else wanted you, and we chose you. We asked the people that give us the one that everybody passed on, and it was you guys, and you should be so lucky that you were chosen. This tells me the beginning of a horror film on these kids. You know what I mean? For the rest of the... Huh?
I wonder why they were passed over. What was the reason?
Exactly. I wonder why they were passed over, too. For 30 years, they were passed over.
Yeah. Maybe people look for
maybe some mental health issues.
Hair color, eye color.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're white kids.
Okay. So.
We have. Do you know how expensive that is to have an embryo there that was frozen? And remember, who's paying for that? Who's paying for that? I mean, there's a lot of questions, and you are absolutely right. What information did they have that people pass these twins over? Like, is there a mental health issue? They may have some physical issues, or back in their DNA, their original parents may have some crazy issues going on. Were they passed over for 30 years? And can you imagine that story? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Seriously, that's the story of a horror film. Well, you know you were passed over, you ungrateful little bastard. You're a grateful little frozen little snowman. What happened was I told you to do your room, and you were chosen by us. Everybody passed you guys over. Your own parents didn't even want you. You were eggs. We chose you, and you treat us like this? Can you imagine that conversation? Because I looked at these parents, and these parents...
The biological children of another couple?
Yeah.
So they were embryos...
30 years ago. They're going to be dead.
Okay.
I guarantee you by the time these kids recognize, again, they're embryos, are they really their biological parents?
Well, you got to think.
I mean, they were
a child in 1994,
they were preserved.
Right?
Yeah.
Jill was born in 1994. So
yeah.
It could be somebody my age. Right? It's the biological
person. I don't know.
Right? So
I
not
don't
necessarily
by the time
100 years old, for Christ's sake.
I know, but is it really their parents though? That's not their
parents. One of those depressing songs at the end of the show. Hey.
Stop it! Hey, you stay away from my hit list.
You're
I know. I know. Okay, you got it. All right. Well, anyway, that's our news for today. The news and what the fuck? Really, embryos?
Can you play a song?
Huh?
Can you play a song?
Can I play a song?
Yeah.
Sure. What song?
This is my favorite song. Oliver breakdances to it. I have a video. And it's called...
Okay. I like to see that.
Wiggle, wiggle. Okay.
Jiggle, jiggle.
Wiggle, yeah, jiggle, jiggle, wiggle, wiggle. It's actually my money don't jiggle. My money folds. You'll hear it. The kids love it.
Jiggle, jiggle. Okay. There's a TikTok version.
Yeah.
Is it Jason DeLuke singing it? Wow. Well, my money don't jiggle, jiggle, it folds.
Yeah.
That must be the TikTok version. Wait a minute. It's only a minute long, though. Hold on. Let's see if it's the same song.
It probably is, yeah.
Is it a minute long? The TikTok version. Wait a minute. Here you go. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Let's see.
Louis Theroux, Duke and Jones, Jiggle Jiggle. My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds. I like to see you wiggle wiggle, for sure. It made me want to dribble dribble, you know, riding in my Fiat. You really have to see it, 6'2" in a compact, no slack. But luckily the seats go back, I got a knack to relax in my mind, sipping some red, red wine. Shepherd's Bush, my compact push. Notting Hill Gate, my Fiat skate with the crate of Cabernet. But not today, because I gotta drive. I wanna stay alive, not cause it's illicit. Do I have to get explicit? As a matter of fact, I sip on the yak with Big and Reef, 200 diamonds in their peak. I'm trying to get mine so I can shine. Jiggle, jiggle. I like to see you. Wiggle, wiggle. Jiggle, jiggle. I like to see you. Wiggle, wiggle. My money don't jiggle, jiggle, it folds. I like to see you wiggle, wiggle, for sure. It made me want to dribble, dribble, you know, riding in my Fiat. You really have to see it, 6'2" in a compact, no slack. But luckily the seats go back, I got a knack to relax in my mind, sipping some red, red wine. I think that went really well, don't you? I enjoyed it. Nice being in the booth. So, unless you have anything else, that's a wrap.
Jiggle, jiggle, I like to see you. Wiggle, wiggle. Jiggle, jiggle, I
like to see you.
Wiggle, wiggle. Is that the song, Melissa?
Yeah, you gotta see him dance to it. I've got a video. I'll send it to you later.
Okay, please do. I'll want to see it. Well, that's the end of our news. We're going to get to our... I think there's a, yeah. Let me see if I can get the full song.
I found a 10-minute version last night. Oh, my God.
Did you really?
I went through 15 minutes of that song. Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kids are growing up. Whatever happened to Paw Patrol and kids are getting more, they're getting more into, how old are they now? 5 and 2 or 4 and 3? 4 and 2?
January 25th.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they were in
yeah.
I remember when they were in my Jill's little tummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we come back, I got to see that. When we come back, that's our news for today. I got to end the news swipe. Here you go. News is now officially over. That was it. That was our news. Like, what the fuck? We're going back. Our main story is holiday hookups, boo. Listen to the black women and get down with that frown. How do you navigate the holidays in a new relationship, according to a listener? All right, if you guys want to just fast forward the show to now because you want to hear how to date, it's very interesting. Like Stephanie says, how about this rule? If you've been dating for less than 6 to 9 months, you're not in a relationship, but rather a friend who is having sex. Lady sex does not count. A deep-seated connection that represents commitment will get you an invitation to a family event. When do you take your fuck buddy to your family events? The guy that you're banging, when does he show up? When do you invite him? The girl that you're, the holidays, when you bring your hoe, which is the holidays, to the family events. When do you do that? Or do you do that? We'll be right back. Now, remember, this is what we call the relationship show. You may hear other relationship shows, but they're nothing like ours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're romantic. We get to the point. Right?
Yeah, very romantic.
Hey, that's what we are. So we're going to bring and we're going to play a romantic song to get you in the mood for the holidays hookups. Everybody's in the studio here. We got six people who are 111s, and I'm not going to them. I'll open up their mic. If they want to talk, they can talk. Here we go. But who's here is Melissa.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Sarge. And we'll be right back with your romantic. What the hell was that? What? Was that Sarge? I don't think that was Sarge.
Yeah, just let
was
you
that
know.
Sarge?
Here.
Oh, okay, that was Sarge. Okay. All right, we'll be right back, and we're going to play a romantic song to get you in the mood for the holidays romance. We'll be right back.
Oh, no.
And you're listening to... Oh, Melissa, ye with little faith. And what I'm going
I
to
know,
do, this is a time where everybody
do.
Goes to...
Oh.
What am I going to do? What
you're
am
gonna
I going to do?
You're going to probably play that wet ass song or something.
No, of course not. Oh, my God, you underestimate my romance. You will apologize to me later, Missy. You underestimate me. I'm playing a romantic song. All right, I'm going to put everybody on mute. This is where we're going to go to the bathroom, get some drinks and everything when we come back. Holiday hookups, boo. According to black women, how to get down with that frown. And we'll be right back. Here's our romantic song to all you romantic people out there. Here you go.
Oh, God. I have some money on this gig. Come on.
Ladies, you here for the audition?
Yes. I'm Diamond, and this is Pearl.
Pearl?
Yeah.
Do is wrong.
Get up.
23 positions in a one night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after you say I can.
Get up.
Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man.
Get up.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
Here I am.
I got the jizz from a friend of yours named Vanessa Betts. She said you told her a fantasy that got her all. Something about a little box with a mirror and a tongue inside. What she told me then got me so hot I knew that we could slide.
Get up.
23 positions in a one night stand.
Get up.
I'll only call you after you just say I can.
Get up.
Let a woman be a woman and a man be a man.
Get up.
If you want to, baby, here I am.
Here I am.
Drinking, scope this, I was just thinking, you trust me, what a ride, if you were thinking the same, we could continue outside, lay your pretty body against the parking meter, strip your dress down like I was stripping a pita, balls, I'm in joy, let me show you baby, I'm a talented boy,
everybody grab a body, pump it like you want somebody,
yeah. To eat. I'm a toy, I don't serve ribs. You better be happy that dress is still on. I heard the rip when you sat down. Honey, them hips is gone, but that's alright. I clock them that way. Mind me of something, Jay.
have a mother for me. Now move your big ass around this way so I can work on that zipper, big day. Tonight, you're a star. And I'm a big zipper. Don't worry about the bus, I'm gonna lock up every door. Then we can do it in the kitchen, on the floor, in the bathroom, standing on the tub and holding on the rod. You're in the closet underneath the clothes and oh my god. And we're walking on the dresser with your feet in the drawers. In the pantry on the shelf, I guarantee you won't be bored. Move, baby, yeah, move the stick. Put the 8-ball where it's sure to fit. Suddenly do no wrong tonight, if now just let him kick you.
Baby, I am. All right. That was Prince. Get off. Very romantic. There you go. Look at you romantic ladies. Here we go.
Very.
The holidays could be a lonely place. Like me. I don't have any children. I'm not married. I'm with a girlfriend, but she has children. She's been married. She has a family. You know, it's funny. The kids would joke with her. She has family, and her daughter lives in Alaska. And her husband will joke with her, my girlfriend, saying, "Mom, when you get old, you're going to come live with us, and we're going to put you a shed in Alaska." You know. So, and then there's the other son who lives in Virginia that she gets along with her son and her daughter-in-law. And they say, "You can come live with us when you get old." So all this old talk about she has a place to go. And I started thinking, I have no place to go. So I started thinking about me renting a villa with a Spanish maid to take care of me with big boobs to take care of me. But nevertheless, if you're single, have no children, what do? You're the uncle that they invite over for holidays because you don't have a family or something. What do you do? Do you hook up? Are you hooking up with another lonely old soul that doesn't have a legacy, meaning family? And hooking up for the holidays, why do people hook up the holidays? It's so lonely, you need to spend dinner with somebody. It's like Valentine's Day to a girl, I guess, for a woman, is that you don't have a boyfriend or whatever, and it just feels wrong. You know, you don't want to go out to dinner by yourself because people are pointing at you. You sure in hell don't want to go to a movie because that looks desperate. So you hide until after Valentine's Day because you're the one who doesn't have the date, or you don't want to go to a bar. You're desperate. You're easy pickup. Look at her. She has Valentine's Day. There's no guy valentining her. She's all lonely and desperate drinking that scotch. And after a couple of night, I mean, after a couple of hours, you know, around midnight, she's starting to look good to you, you know? Then you hook up. Worst night of your life. You wake up because the next day is not Valentine's Day. It's VD Day. Not Valentine's Day. Venereal Disease Day. Go get your cream. Get your crabs off. Rub, you know, get rid of crabs. It's a bad day. People make bad choices. Because of the holidays, people make bad choices. Because of the holiday. Well, here's two women who can help you through this. They're black girls. And we all know that black girls know better than any other girls around. Jewish, Irish, Catholics, Catholics, Catholics. We know. You got to listen to black women. And here we go. Here we go.
There's something so romantic about spending the holidays with your boo, the parties, the decor, oh, the kisses under the mistletoe. But what does that mean for your new relationship? Because navigating the holidays can be very tricky. Did you know that 2 weeks before Christmas and Christmas is the height for when people break up?
That'll surprise me,
right? I'm not actually that surprised, which all leads us to the question of the cuffing season is almost over, but you've already scored your new boo. But the holidays are approaching, so what does that mean for your new relationship? I'm Shamika Sanders, and beside me are my lovely co-hosts, Kiara Kelly and Brandy Victorian.
Shamika, Brandy, and Kiori? Wakanda forever. Here we go.
Lovely co-hosts, Kiara Kelly and Brandy Victorian. Pull up, because Listen to Black Woman starts now. There's something so romantic about spending the holidays with your boo, the parties, the decor. Oh,
this is why black women are lonely. I'm already getting annoyed. Low energy. You got that black energy going. I love black women, but black women got that high energy. Oh, boy.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. Here we go. Get ready.
Hey.
Soul train. Wakanda forever.
The kisses under the mistletoe. But what does that mean for your new relationship? Because navigating the holidays can be very tricky. Did you know that 2 weeks before Christmas and Christmas is the height for when people break up?
I'm not actually that surprised,
which all leads us to the question of the week. How do you navigate the holidays with your new boo?
The holidays can make you feel very romantic, but it's very important that with your new boo, you ask the hard questions. It's easy to get caught up in the whirlwind of the let it snow hot chocolate moments and all of that, but you have to sit down. You have to find out what traditions that you all share or don't share so that you can make compromises within the relationship. One contention point for a lot of couples is, when do you meet the parents? And I think that meeting the parents during the holidays, there's a lot of heightened awareness around that, and it can be really a stressful situation. But it's important to analyze your partner and kind of find out how they approach meeting the parents, because some guys, they'll bring anybody to mama's house. But then there's some guys that take it so seriously because they know that their parents will look at them and say, okay, you brought her home for the holidays. Yeah. You better be putting a ring on it.
You watch movies, Miracle on 34th Street, Lifetime movies, where it's all about the girl and the guy. You know, there's those romantic situations that we all idolize. And that adds a lot of pressure when it comes to things like social media. And now you have this new guy, and you're like, how do I compete with the Lifetime movies, sis?
Am I getting older? You guys got a headache, too. Do you guys got a headache? I just got this pounding.
I don't like this.
Huh?
I don't like that either.
I don't know. Let's take a vote, because I have another person. They have 261,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't take them seriously. Let's take a poll here.
Um,
Well, let's listen to a man, the do's and the don'ts. Let's listen to a man.
Welcome back.
I mean, they're too Hollywood to me. They're too phony to me. I need something. Well, here's a man talking about
cronies with some excellent holiday dating advice.
Here you go.
April is joining us, and love is in the air. Feel it all around you. How you doing, April?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
All right, so it's holiday season, and whether you're dating or single or whatever, we've got some advice for everybody. You're the expert.
Right.
And before we get to that, tell us about your company, Cupid's Cronies.
Cupid's Cronies is an upscale matchmaking firm. We also do date coaching as well as helping people to go on into social.
All right, see what I have to do here. Here's what I have to do. Listen to me. Dating sites are scams. Stupid. Ridiculous. If you want rejection or you want to be a subject of a murder, meaning yours, dating sites. It's stupid. Think of it as this. If you have to go to a dating site, you are, exception of Sarge, because I love him, and he went off of it, and he doesn't agree with it. You're a big loser. Loser. And that's what will happen. If you meet somebody on a dating site, you're going to lose her. So keep that in mind. Lose her. Loser. That's the first thing you got to think about when you're attempting to go to a dating site. And the reason why is because these are the people who are undateable will go to a dating site. Think of what I'm saying to you. The undateable will to a dating site. Because in this world, whatever town you live in, I guarantee you, even if you have a small town with 1,200, you're going to meet someone. Or the next town over, if you have the personality, if you are a likable person, you're going to meet someone. And it doesn't have to be bars and everything. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. I'm going to tell you a big secret. I'm going to tell you the big secret of where to meet professional men. And I'm going to tell you this. This is a big secret. Sports bars. Listen to what I'm saying. Sports bars. You're getting a professional man at a sports bar. They're into sports, and they love a girl who are into sports. Now, you don't want to go to a club. Let me tell you something. You don't want to go. This is Hammies. This is Hammies, Hammy-Downs. I'm having down some advice here. Ladies, if you're at a certain age, if you're over 35, it's a good thing. The mistake that women make over 35 is that you're still pivoting. You're at the eagle thing. It's like, I can still go to the clubs, or now I can't go to the clubs where they're 21, so I'll go to, events or whatever. No. If you want the advantage, ladies, and you want to meet successful men, you want to go to a sports bar. They're not interested in hitting on you, number one, because they're interested in the game. So you're not going to get the creepy creepies. Now, you're going to get professional men there. You're going to get the professional gamblers. You're going to get the professional corporate person. And at the very least, you may make a friend. Maybe they're married and everything, and then you have a good friend who knows. And meeting a friend, don't take meeting a friend lightly, because friends have friends, and friends always want to fix up friends. So you might meet this guy, but he's married, and go, oh, you still want to befriend him if he have the same interest in sports and everything. Sooner or later, he hangs around with his male friends, and you're going to get hooked up. You are bypassing the dating sites, which are, remember, lose her. If you're a guy, think about it. Lose her, L-O-S-S-E, lose, H-E-R, lose her, loser. Because the people who are on dating sites are losers. They are the undateable. These are the psychotics. These are the weird person. Think about it for a minute. If you're a lady and you're picking some guy who put an application on a social media platform, which is a dating site. And then the guys who are coming to you, you're going, nope, nope, nope. There's a reason you're going, nope, 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 nope. And pretty soon your brain starts to think, you know what, maybe I'm too picky. Your brain starts messing with your head. And then you lower down your you lower down your guard, and you pick up a loser. And let me tell you something, ladies. If you pick up a guy on a dating site, it's not just you. There are other people are messaging this guy, or other cycles that he did go out on a date with, and you're still on a site that's going to come after him. It's a mess. If he went out with a cycle that didn't like him and everything, and she's got complaints about it, and it's just a mess. Another thing, ladies, let me tell you something. Get two, and I think my Jill will back me up. I think my Jill will back me up on this. And I'm reaching out to my Jill, and
well,
she knows who she
here,
is.
But I'll ask
she's
her.
In.
Yeah.
Okay. When
she's
you're
talking.
Dating, if you're over 35, get two Facebook pages. One for your dating life. The other personal. Never put a guy you just met on your Facebook that has your family on there and your dear friends on it and your dear this. It's another mistake that women make.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to tell him your Facebook where your intimate friends are and your family and friends are if he's a psychotic.
Mm.
What you want to do is get another Facebook page for your dating life. That's what you want to do. Now, you can go there and add friends that you never, you know, your Facebook will say, well, this friend, you want to, friends that you don't even know, you add. Groups that you want to follow. And it could be, this is your dating Facebook page. So you're going to get in groups that has, don't put anything like matchmaking. Look like you're always looking for a date. You look desperate. Don't do it. You put in groups like sports, bowling, events, ballet, the theater. You join, you like to laugh, comedy groups. That's how your Facebook page is going to look. So when you do date these cycles, it does not interfere with your family life or your intimate personal friends. Right, Melissa? Right, Sarge? Am I correct here? Is it good tips?
I agree.
Good tips?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. So tip number one. Here's tip number one. So I'll give you the bullet tips. Number five is get a number. We're going to go five. Number five, get another Facebook page for dating only. Don't tell nobody about it. You do not tell your friends about it. You do not tell your parents about it. You do not, especially do not tell your kids about it. Your kids don't like you dating at all. It's ew, and they don't want to hear about it. This is you. Dating Facebook page, and you want to fill it with sometimes recipes, like you want to present yourself as a good homemaker, you cook, but you want to elegant up a little bit. You want to join groups, like I said, like a comedy group, ballet, going to the plays, elegant group. You want to present yourself as a very, I hate to use the word high class, but you know. How you want to be treated. Know your value. That's number one. I give it away. But a value person. So when they see your Facebook page, they know that they're coming against, and this is a woman over 35, a very together woman, corporate stuff, things like that. Make up your own little profile. Like you know, you have one kid and they're at university in Harvard or they're in Columbia University. You know what I'm trying to say? Get a fake kid up there. Show family. Because
what
this page is doing, you're not lying.
Listen,
that's what we're saying.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you've got this fake Facebook and fake life.
Yes.
So what happens after that when they find out? Do you delete the page immediately?
Well, after that, after that is, I call it coming to Jesus moment. If you're working out and you met somebody and you guys are, you know, and it's working, you got to understand how long it works out. This woman says that 6 to 8 months is still dating with friends, your friends and you're having sex. Now, that's what this woman, so what are you talking about? So what is the time limit? A year before you say, okay, it works out? I mean, even if it's a year, you still got a year to know this guy. You still, you know, I know people who got married and they've been married for 10 years and they don't eat. You know what? I know people who have that. What do you call it when your kids in the empty nest syndrome and they have to get and they have to get back to know their husband and they look at him going, "You're boring. Why did I even stay with you?" They don't. They have to get to know their husband again. So what are we talking about? 5 months that you get that if you're dating this guy exclusively, things are going to happen in 5 months that you will know something about this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it does happen, if it does work out, he's going to think you're smart. He's going to think you're really smart. Why would you want to put some new guy into your family life? He's going to say that you're not desperate. You are just filtering out the crazies, and be honest with him. I'm a single woman, and I don't want the crazy mingle. He would understand that because chances are he has 3 or 4 Facebook pages anyway for people who he bangs. It's not a big deal. He would understand that. He would think you're smart. And who cares what he thinks, because right now it's more important that you don't put crazy people in your life so quickly and get them to know that you have kids and where your kids are at, pictures of your kids and pictures of your family and pictures of your job and your friends, and you hardly know this guy. I think that you're playing the risk, and it's more risky putting them right there in the middle of your family life than it is not. Am I correct? And if he doesn't understand
you created a lie.
You're not lying.
So then you have to.
No, not really.
If you're putting fake pictures up of supposed family and, right? And then in the end, you've got to say, well, those really aren't my friends or, uh-uh.
No, you don't say it that way.
I do agree.
You say it as an executive and a business person. I put this fake site up to filter the crazies. That's it. You don't even have to make up a story. I want to make sure that the guys that I am, he would have to appreciate you not being so desperate to put him to meeting your friends and your family, and you could tell him I have a bad experience about some guy going off on me on my page and this and this and this and social media. You got to remember, the guys, if you're 35, here's the rule. If you're 35, 5 years is the deal. 5 years younger, 5 years older. 5 years is a cutoff because you're still in the generation. Don't date more than 5 years younger or 5 years older. That's the rule. If you date more than 5 years either which way,
you're in trouble, especially a woman. You never want to be put in a position that you're dating a younger man, because a younger man is not going to appreciate an older woman. Unless she has diamonds and put her in it. And then, again, he's not going to appreciate her. He knows that she is desperate. And in his mind, he's dating down. And he will abuse you. He knows he's dating down. He knows you're old. And you will do anything to hold on to this guy. And pretty soon, your money, your self-worth, and the value, your self-value is going to go down. You're going to be at his disposal. And when he finally breaks up with you, it's going to be an abusive relationship. And I don't know if you can handle the jokes about, oh, how you doing, Boomer? Oh, you don't know technology. When I was a kid, you cannot share stories with the guy. When I was a kid, they didn't have, the movies were $2.50. What? And you don't want to hear stories of when he was a kid. Because you were 24 going to clubs when he was. It doesn't work. 5 years is the spread. Melissa, what do you think? Sarge, what do you think? 5 years.
5 years?
Yes. Either way.
That seems a bit on the long side, don't you think?
Okay, what do you think? I gave it 5, but you're still in a generation. You're within 5 years, you're okay. 10 years, you're getting really outside of the generation. What do you think, Sarge?
We're speaking in general rules, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, generally, of course, what you say is probably true because of the differences in attitudinal perspectives between generations. So, yeah, but in the case with my girlfriend, we got a considerable gap, and we have no problems at all. I think it's because of the unique personalities and attitudes of each of us that we click. But I would agree as a general rule, no doubt about it, it's got to be more true than not.
Yes, because you still remember when you were a kid. Within 5-year gap, whenever they said when I was a kid, you know that, and they know it. And you're not competing with this age thing. My girlfriend has a thing. She was worried about she wouldn't date a guy younger than her. She didn't. It didn't matter. It could be a day younger. And she goes, uh-uh. I go, a day younger? Nope. She won't date a guy who's smaller than her. She's 5'7", I think. And how tall are you?
5'9". I'll date somebody younger. I just won't date anybody shorter.
You'll date somebody younger? You never told me that.
Yeah, just not shorter.
Well, how long, how younger? Is 5 years, more than 5 years?
Yeah.
Well, what is your date cutoff? 2?
I've never dealt with that.
But if you had to deal with it.
I'm an old soul, so they would have to be challenging for me to do that.
You slut.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, look, I think
later,
a lot of that
woman.
Stuff. Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff is kind of arbitrary, but nonetheless, it makes sense. So I'm not going to say you shouldn't do it, but, again, you know, individual dynamics are what really count in a relationship because we're not groups of people. We're two people in a relationship. And what matters is whether or not two people in a relationship can get along with each other, not whether classes of people can get along with each other, even though they have some value in determining general rules. But like everything that's a general rule, there are exceptions to the rule. But I look at it this way. If a woman is old enough to run to be president of the United States, she's old enough to make just about any decision. 35 is kind of my cutoff.
Yeah. Well,
so you're old enough to be president of the United States.
The
assumption is you're old enough to be mature enough to do and think about just about anything, I would imagine.
Okay. Well, the rule is to put women, when women hit 35 and they find themselves single and over, especially when you get into your 50s, the hardcore rule is that you are now out of the dating market. It's like the old jobs. I used to be a telemarketer and everything. Those jobs are gone. Remember the site? There's a lot of jobs that are gone nowadays. You know what I'm trying to say? The dating market is if you're over 40, that well is really drying up. You may have a little bit of splash in the street, but you're pretty much dried up. And you have to put it in your favor. Now, so the number one thing is you cannot compete. A 40-year-old woman cannot compete with a 20-year-old woman. It's just how it is. A 40-year-old woman cannot compete with a 30-year-old woman. She cannot. A 40-year-old, her value now is up, meaning that 45-year-old man, 47-year-old man. Even then, the 35s are competing with the 47-year-old man, and he's going to choose the 30s. It's true. Now, when you get up to the point where you're 50, now a 50-year-old woman, unless you're rich, even then it's not going to be happy. A 50-year-old woman is not going to be dating a 35-year-old man. The men will do it. A woman will find secure. They will find, you know, they like it. They feel safe. I mean, all the women will think about this. He's retired. His money thing is financially sound. It's inviting for a woman who is 35 to date 50. But it's not financially sound for a woman who is 50 dating 35. It's cruel world. There's nothing in it for the 35-year-old man. And, again, she's competing with the 25-year-old girl. She's competing with the 30-year-old girl. So you have to know your value and who you are, and there's nothing wrong about growing old. Growing old is cool. I mean, my God, a lot of women reach their independence at 50. A lot of women are going on cruises and doing events, and they're making money, and they're in corporate. It is a beautiful world that women have to really understand that when you get into your late 40s and your 50s, your kids are usually out of the house. Your grandchildren are cool. Your life, you're not dependent on anybody. You're pretty much set. You can go anywhere you please. And you don't have to be a caretaker to no one just in case they have some illness of another of a man who's 55 or a man who's 60 because you dated younger. You know, when he was 30 and you dated him when he was 27. So now he's getting close to 60 and you're still 50, 49, 50, but you're more or less a caretaker than a wife and a lover. So you want to really help your odds as a woman over 45. And how do you do it? Is one, I'll go back. Look at these bullet points. Forget one, two, three. Know your value and your worth. You got to have great self-esteem if you're going to date, because rejection is a bitch, and it's part of it. You got to understand it's part of it. It's when I go to, when me and my girlfriend go to Vegas, we're saying, how much money can we afford to lose? And we set that money aside to have a great time. So we'll go to Vegas, we set money aside for losing money. And if we win and we play this, we're playing house money, we have a great time. If we lose all of it, it's not hurting us. And that's what you have to do. Know who your value is, because if you date out of your value, you're going to get hurt. You will get abused. You will get sexually abused. You'll be put in situations where you're not supposed to. You're going to be called a bad mom. You're going to be judged all the freaking time because that younger guy knows that you're desperate. And his friends know that you're desperate, and his friends are mocking him. Don't think his friends are not. Oh, how's your old lady? I mean, literally, your old lady doing. And not to mention, biology changes when you get older, and maybe you may have some female problems as far as age goes. Wetness problems. Maybe you're not getting as wet as you should get wet. Maybe whatever. And it's going to be embarrassing to you that this young guy is experiencing this. Let me tell you something. I always say, when I say let me tell you something, let me tell you something. When your woman experiences menopause, she's not going through it by herself. She has menopause. Guess what? Now you got menopause. Because you, whatever she's going through, you're going through. So if she's experiencing menopause, you're also menopausic because you're with her. And you're dealing with the symptoms that she's dealing with. And if you're a woman who's 45, 47, 50, 55 going through menopause and you're dating a 35-year-old and even a 40-year-old, he's not going to understand what the fuck is happening to you, and you're not going to tell him because you're embarrassed. You're ashamed that his girlfriend or his wife is going to menopause and he's 37 years old. These are things you cannot share with that younger guy. So know your value, who you are, and then you get in a position where you can be valuable, meaning to accept your value, accept your worth. If you are a hard-working woman, driving a bus, whatever, you are valuable. And to get into the dating world, you have to understand rejection is part of the game. But you have to be okay with that. Because on this show, Melissa has a saying, I have a saying, I quit saying it, I'm not for everyone. I'm not for everyone. And I'm okay with this. This show is not for everyone. And I'm okay with it. I don't want to be liked. And if I have to impress someone that I'm likable, they are not worth it to me. That's how I think. If I have to impress somebody how good I am, all I'm doing is belittling myself. And I don't value myself anymore. Did I have to put myself on promotion on blast and say I'm really a wonderful guy? I really am. You're dead in the water that way. So know who you are and your value. Melissa brought up a great point about, is it lying? It might be lying, but I call it safety. Because if you're going, chances are you're going to meet somebody else single. They got baggage, man. Yeah, they already been divorced. It could be a terrible divorce. You're already bringing trauma. Everybody has a story over 35, and it's not a good one. He abused me. He did this. He did that. She abused me. She cheated on me. He cheated. They got baggage, man. They got baggage. And your main goal is to be safe while you are weeding out the bad people. Precautions and safety. I'm sorry, this is what I believe in. I love Melissa, and I think she's right, but I'd rather be caught in a lie saying, by the time that we're done and you're the one, I think he would understand what I was doing, and I think he would respect me for being cautious of what I was doing. Know the signs. One, know your value, know your worth. Two, when you put yourself out in the dating world, rejection is part of it. It's part of the game, baby. But rejection is good because then you know you're going down the wrong path. So if you're getting rejected, don't look at it like it, something's wrong with you. Just look at it as knowledge like, okay, I'm going down the wrong path. I got to change my path. You see somebody you like, he rejects you because maybe you're old, maybe you're not his type, and you're thinking it's about you. Rejection is not about you. It's about them. It has nothing to do with you. It's about them. You are not what they want. You don't fit their cue. And that's okay. Then you're, and reason why majority of the people are unhappy and they get divorced, and the people who get divorced 3 or 4 times is because they go out with the same kind of man. And they wonder why they're not happy. Because they keep going out with the same type of guy. And it's, whether it's a bad boy or whatever, and they could never be happy. You got to switch up. So if you're getting rejected, you got to look at the type of man that you're going for. Maybe he was too young. Maybe he was too old. Maybe he was into other things that you were not into, and you can't will things to work. Rejection is God saying, move on. And you want to embrace that injection because you don't want to be with the wrong person and spend all this time with them for months and years and find out they were the wrong guy, and then you get a divorce 20 years later, and it takes up all your good years. You want that shit to happen fast so you can move on. Know your value. Rejection is part of dating. You get to a point where what kind of man do you want to meet? You put it down in paper. You put it down in paper. Forget the illusion of the Brad Pitts and all that, because that's a script that I write and an actor will play who he is. You don't know who Tom Clooney is, or Tom Clooney, George Clooney. You don't know who Tom Brady is. You don't know who Brad Pitt is. So you're saying that type? It is no such type. Those are scripts. Those are written characters that they play and personas that they give to you. So you got to understand what you want in a relationship. You put it down into 5 things. What do I want in a relationship? Then you put in another 5 bullet points. How do I want to be treated? And you put it down. If you want to be treated like a princess, then you find a younger person to worship you. It's valid. You put it down. Know your value. 2, dating has consequences. Oh, that should be 3. It does have consequences. Who you let in your life, when do they meet your children, when do you bring them home, when do you let them know where you live. Like the girl said, she said 6 to 9 months, you're still basically friends, but you're just screwing. So you're dating this guy for 6 months, and he seems cool. When do you let him know where you live, and when do they meet your children? When does that happen? Because dating does have consequences. And do you open that up to your children or your family for the choices that you made when you don't really know this person? And 3, when the person is pissed off, pay attention. Pay attention when he's angry. Pay attention the first time he gets angry. Pay attention the first time he gets pissed off. Watch him. Look at his mannerism. Does he seem violent? Does he seem out of control? Does he seem irritable? How does he treat you when he's pissed off? listen to the words that he's talking about the other person that he's pissed off with. I want to kill that motherfucker. That motherfucker was no good. You want to listen to all these. You want to listen to the warning signs, the red flags. Then you want to get the fuck out. You do not excuse that behavior because this is who he is when he's pissed off. You've got to pay attention to that. Sometimes I even suggest piss him off so you can see it. You need to pay, or does he just, you know, oh, okay, that's okay. Is he well-mannered and blah? You need to pay attention to that bullshit. And to have it, put it in your corner, again, you want to go to places in number six or whatever. You want to go to places where the type of man you want to meet. I said sports bars. It's a place where you can go have a drink. Most men are not going to try to pick you up. Some will eye you, but a lot of people are business people. They're there to watch the game and have some fun. You can fit in there. You can bring and buy a jersey. Wear the jersey so you can have communication. And remember, even if you're a friend of somebody, make a friend. Even if you're a friend of someone, don't talk about these dating sites. Oh, they put you in a friend category? No, 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 no. A friend thing is in your favor because if you're a friend, they're going to introduce you to other friends that they know of. And you like this guy, chances are good friends that he has are the same quality guy he is. And you'll be invited to barbecues, and you'll be invited to this event, and you're going to meet his friends. And I guarantee you, one of his friends are going to be the ones that are going to like you. And it's going to be the typical type of man that you wrote down in a piece of paper where you want to meet. So bottom line is, when you write it on a piece of paper, what kind of man you want to meet and how you want to be treated, you go to those places where they frequent. A sports bar. A social club. Where people play golf, one of these places, a country club. And you can't get in a country club? Well, you make sure you can get in one way or another. You pay the taxes or whatever you need to pay to get in. But be around the people that you love to be around. This is how you put the advantage in your court. Because most women are not thinking of joining a country club. Most women are not thinking about a sports bar. Most women are not attending a motivational speaking tour. Get to know and be there where they're there. Go to plays. Some people meet on cruise ships. I'm against that. You know, they're having a great time on cruise ships. I'm against that, you know. You don't want to meet somebody in a party atmosphere. You don't want to meet anybody in a gambling casino, you know. You don't want to meet anybody at a bar. You don't want to meet anybody at a circus. A concert is good because you love the same music. Right there, you got something in common. So there you go. How to take it out, ladies over 45, and I'll end it that way. Number one, know your value. You're going to know your value. Number two, if you're going to go out there and date, you're going to be rejected. Welcome to rejection because it tells you you're going the wrong way. You need that rejection. Number three, get that Facebook page to save. Make sure you're protected until you know who they are. Number four, if you do find somebody, when they're pissed off, pay special attention to their mannerism when they're pissed off. Note that. Note that right away. And there you have your advantage. If you want to meet them at church, go to church, but that's a touchy thing. But that's it. And there's other ways to make it your advantage if you're a lady over 45. There's other ways, too. Join groups on Facebook, too, that has your interest in business and in activities. Okay, guys, we're still going to go on, but that's my tips. Anybody want to argue with that? Melissa and Sarge, and there's 111 here too. We only got 30 seconds. Go. You can argue with me.
I have no desire to argue with any of it other than to say that, generally every bit of admonition and advice and analysis you gave about it is pretty much true. But again, I went to the dating sites, found out that I wasn't going to get anywhere with them. And the reason I'm in a relationship now is because it was an entirely natural, I guess you could say, meet-cute, unexpected situation that I'm in a relationship now. and it pretty much defies most of the conventions about what you said. But just because it defies the conventions, this relationship I'm in now does not mean what you said was not mostly true. I think most of it is.
Yes. It does happen naturally. I met my girlfriend, and she happened to be 6 months younger than me. Wasn't planned.
Oh, 6 months, planned. That's a big deal, is it?
No, she's happy about that. She is, believe me, to her, it's a big deal. You're older than me. I'll say, move it, old lady. I'm younger than you. You know, it's a little
like
joke
said,
that we
one thing she likes is that he likes the fact that I got all this experience and I know all these things.
Right.
That's what she likes about it, you know?
Sure.
Not just the fact that I'm
exactly.
older than her, but the fact that I know things and can teach her these things.
Sure. And that's the advantage of, like I said, of a younger woman dating an older man, the security. That's number one.
Yeah, well, we can talk
the
about
financial security.
And we have lengthy discussions about, like I have with you, actually.
Yeah.
So,
And there are relationships like that, and those are true relationships. But when you try to manufacture a relationship, and listen to what I'm saying, when I use the word manufacture a relationship, you're going to go, how crass and how stupid. Well, that's what you're doing when you're going on these dating sites. You're manufacturing a relationship. That's what you're doing. It's almost like, well, I want to get the best guy. Your mind is not even in a relationship mode. He's too ugly. Oh, you got a big nose. I don't like his jokes. I mean, you're scientifically manufacturing a guy. Okay, he looks good. I mean, how's his views on women issues? Oh, I don't like the way. And this guy could be a good guy. And he may compromise him. Maybe he's thinking he was up there he's up there on that site for years. Why is he there? How many women did he date? How many women while he was on that site? And when I'm trying to date him, how do you know these other women who wanted to get with him, because he's still on the site, are contacting him? The psychological bullshit about swapping left and dating sites, it's a money scam for desperate people. And think about it again. Lose her, because eventually you will lose her if you hook up with a woman on a dating site. You will lose her eventually, because she's not what she is. And you're a loser for doing it. Melissa, the lady in Maine who's on the Star of the magazine in a beautiful bikini, spaghetti bikini. Your input. Okie dokie.
I was muted. I muted myself. Yeah, it seemed pretty good.
But you're, and I know that you're saying, and I agree with you. You're setting up a lie with a Facebook thing, but I, as a man, I look at it more security. Some women, too much, too fast, will put the new boyfriend and meeting their children and. And it's been 3 months, and I know who he is, and I'm ready to commit this guy, and this is the guy. And you give them your Facebook thing, and they're looking at your friends, and they're looking at your family, and they know all about you because you posted things, and they know where your kids go to school, and the name of your children, and your ex-husband. They even know about that, because the last thing you want to hear of a new guy is how bad your ex-husband is, and there's a picture of him right there with an old picture of you and your ex-husband, and they know who he is, and you know what I mean? It's just too much.
Okay.
Too much information for just
dating. You know
what
I want to know? Who is this mystery 111 who's sitting and listening?
Oh, that's Mrs. Solution. You already know that. That's Mrs. Solution because he's a pussy now. Well, she doesn't want to come in. Mrs. Solution doesn't want to come in. Mrs. Solution wants to listen to the show, knitting. He wants to knit and listen to the show. And there's a little log cabin. There's a little log burning in the fireplace behind him. And he's knitting like a little girl. But it's okay. It's okay. If he wants to enjoy the show, he can. And let's give her a prop for Mrs. Solution. Now, Mrs. Solution will never find the right woman. There are guys who will never find the right woman. And the reason why is because he's too analytical on women. He's too analytical on women. He thinks too much. He reads too much about women by other people. And the real secret of what Mrs. Solution is, the real secret, he's afraid of rejection. It scares him. It's his kryptonite. Because Mrs. Solution has worked so hard with his game and his knowledge. And he thinks in his mind, how can they reject me? The only reason you can reject me, you must be a horrid bitch to reject me. So he's borderline a serial killer, but he hasn't reached that yet, but he hopes to grow up into it.
Are you saying
But that's
Mrs.
what it is.
Solution? Are you saying
I'm
Mrs.
saying Mrs. Solution?
Solution
because he's a bitch that he won't talk. He won't talk, so he's a bitch. So it's Mrs. Solution. I'm baiting him. Or Mr. Pollution.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're trying to call him out, ain't you?
I am.
Now, you know
I
you're
going
to make him come in with going in kind of insult.
I know. What is he going to step up?
I recognize the tactic you're trying to pull, and I hope he comes on here, and I hope he whoops your ass.
I hope he whoops your ass. Merry Christmas to you, Dusage. All right. But anyway, those are my dating tips.
Have you been able to go to the dating show or relationship show that the other guys go to? Have you been able to join them?
Not yet.
Okay. I just wondered.
I think it's on tomorrow,
show,
I believe.
Didn't we?
I think it's on tomorrow, so I think I'll try to make if they're going to, well, if they're going to broadcast tomorrow. Well, that's right. It's on Thursday, I think.
Well,
I think it's on Thursday.
Tomorrow is pre-Thanksgiving.
It's
so.
Thanksgiving Eve is the term you're looking for.
It is.
That's true. That's true.
Yes.
Let's see. Tomorrow, here's my...
Yeah. Mrs. Solution. Mm. I wonder.
No man will take that. Now, here's the broadcast schedule.
Maybe
I will be on tomorrow, which is Wednesday.
Huh?
No, it's him. And you know how I can tell it's him? Well, no, probably, if you come on the show, nobody's going to... Well, I do have four other 111s that I went to, but they actually said, I'm just listening. This is the only 111 that's quiet. And if I go to you and say, 111, you're live on the air, if you're a regular human being, you would say, I'm just listening. So I don't go back to you. You would say some kind of thing because you're a fan of the show. He's a stubborn little bitch that he's not talking, and he's sitting there in the corner, and he's pouting and everything. So I know it's him. Little powder, little pouty. There should be a little dog called a solution doll. Well, he has a thumb in his mouth, and he's just sitting there pouting, and you can hang him on your tree. I hope he comes on and whips your ass.
What show was this that you had this blow up with him again? Because I got to catch it and listen to it for myself.
Well, he was acting like an ass, and he called
me
crazy.
Well, yeah, but what show
said,
was
that?
What was the title of it?
I think it was 3 days ago. I think it was 3 days ago. It was 3 or 4 days ago.
I missed it. I think I came in late to the show and you told me about it. It was late when I came on the show.
I can't even remember what happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Right. He's still pouting.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to it so I can make an objective evaluation of what happened because I don't trust your account by itself.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Are you serious?
No, I was supposed to account. I mean,
wow.
Let's face it. You're biased.
I am not biased. I'm a straight man.
No, you think the Nazis were conservatives. How the hell am I going to trust you?
They're very conservative.
You think
they're
Nazis were right wing? I don't trust you at all when it comes to evaluating things.
Oh, come on. Come on.
So I'm going to
listen
to it
for
myself
and
make up my own mind.
Let me refresh us, because did you guys argue over a specific thing, or I don't even remember.
No, he came in very hot, and when I was talking, he said, shut the fuck. He didn't say fuck, but he was just very rude to me. Very rude.
Okay.
And then he said, I was out of my damn mind, you know, that kind of thing. See, I got an audience who likes Hammer.
Yes.
Huh? What's wrong?
Well,
I got an audience. I have a big audience who actually do like Hammer. And as we transition to our new shows, we only got two more live shows of this format, tell you the truth. So Mr. Solution could hold his tongue all he wants to, because we only got two more shows, and that's the last you'll hear of this format probably. So, and then we're going to transition to the other format. And you need to follow me, because I'll tell you how to see us live on with YouTube and other areas too.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we have, today is Tuesday, so we got Wednesday we're on, Thursday we're not on. Friday we may be on. And then
mm-hmm.
after that, we're going to be completely off the air. What am I? November 22nd. Okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday's the 28th. 28th we may be on. 29th we're on. The last time we're going to be on is Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, Wednesday. And then the 1st through the 15th, we're completely off the air. That's for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And
mm-hmm.
We may come back after Christmas,
mm-hmm.
but I might be setting up the new show. The new shows after that,
yep.
for the new format.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But we do know that Wednesday the 30th may be the last kind of format of this kind of show.
Yeah.
And then I am thinking right now, it's all in my mind, that if I'm going to come back, am I going to come back live, like I was saying, streaming on
Yep.
on YouTube and Facebook. And oh my god, I forgot our musical guest. Shit, our musical guest today was King Webb, and I was supposed to play the song. I forgot, and we're in podcast right now. Well, maybe I promoted it anyway. Hopefully people will get the song. I'll play them. But like I said, the new format is I'm going to be live on the air. You're going to be able to see me like a ghetto talk show. And I'll be trying to set up guests right now, and musical guests, and comedians and stuff, and then radio drama, like the old days, because there's some shitty, shitty movies out there. Good movies will not come around for another 2 years because of the pandemic. Right now, you're getting pandemic bullshit that's coming down the pike. This is all pandemic bullshit right now. That movies they did when they're in pandemic. So the real movies won't start until another 2 years from now. That's what I suspect. So you're going to get a lot more bullshit movies like Bullet Train and MCU Marvel crap. That's it. A lot of special effects. So I'm going to bring real drama back to the radio with real radio actors. Yes, like in the 1930s, like when Mr. Solution was a teenager.
Cool.
Hmm? Yeah. Back to when Mr. Solution was a teenager in 1930.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah,
wow.
I just listened to War of the Worlds not too long ago. Remember the one with H.G. Wells that set up that panic all over the East Coast?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a couple months ago I heard it.
It's
true. It was pretty interesting to think that it caused all that fur back then. But a lot of people didn't stick around to hear, you know, the part where you could tell it was all a story. They just heard the first few moments of it.
Well, I like to create a whole thing that you can listen to. Mr. Solution Left, where you can listen to, isn't it, where you can listen to when you're cooking or when you're laying down or whatever. It's a real drama thing. Yeah, and I was thinking about it because of drama for the blind. You know, sometimes I was tired and I wanted to see a movie, but I was really, really tired and I had to turn over, but I was listening to NCIS as an audio. You know, the show was going on TV, but I turned my back on the TV. And I'm thinking, it wasn't so much radio, it's like blind people. How do blind people listen to TV and to theaters? You know what I mean? So it's like theater for the blind. And does it translate if I was not watching it? I mean, and you know what I found? I found that it doesn't translate well. They're not really doing it for the hearing impaired, because the sound effects and walking through it, it's funny, you do it for the caption, closed caption, where you're, when you, the glasses and whatever, but they really are not really, it doesn't dictate well audio. There's just too much dropout and too much pausing for it to work. And if you want to try this, try it. Watch your favorite show. I like the FBIs and the NCISs, but whatever, your cooking shows, whatever, do this. Turn on your TV, then go out of the room, do something else. Don't look at the TV, or just lay down and put your back to the TV and see if it translates well to the blind. To the blind. See if it translates well. And I don't think it does. We don't think about that because we can hear and we can see. But there are a lot of people, what is it, 5% of the world are either deaf or blind? And we don't really think about the blind until we're made to think of them. So that's what I started doing. So when I wasn't feeling well, so I turned my back on the FBIs, and I love one of the FBIs. So I was laying on my side, and I was listening to it, and then I was thinking about the blind. Does it translate well? And it didn't. It really didn't. So I want to do that. I want to do the radio plays again, and I want to do something for, I'm not going to call it Radio of the Blind, you know. I want to do something that when you're sleeping, when you're laying down and you can't sleep, I want to take you there. I want to do it. I mean, it's not just me. I mean, there are talented voice actors out there that audiobooks. My girlfriend goes to sleep with an audiobook almost every day, and I can hear that damn audiobook. But I want to do something better than that, the sound effects, the real stuff. You're in the movie. I want to put you into that. And I think I could pull it off. And I call it original. It'll be original movies, you know. The Sound of Music or The Sound of Plays. What do you think? It's ambitious,
cool.
And I want to do it. I do want to do it. And while I'm on vacation, I will secure it. I'll finish up the script. They come from me. It's already almost written. And what the audio story is that this girl, she is so bad, she is so evil, that she wants to take the Grim Reaper position. Where the Grim Reaper comes for you, she wants his job. She thinks it's a great job. And then she performs this fake suicide for near death for the Grim Reaper to appear to her. And that was her chance to take his job. You see the twist on this? This is really great.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make that into a radio. I really do. I want to make that into a radio play, you know, with real actors, that she is so evil that she wants to take souls. And the only way that she can take souls is to take his job. And she does.
Wow.
So what do you think of that twist? Huh? What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've heard you talk about that before.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's original.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's original. You know. So I think that, and it goes into like she gets a job in hell, but she realizes that there even in hell there's certain levels she had to come up to, and there's an accountant in hell that measures how many souls that they can get, and the souls that they can keep, and the souls that they're losing to heaven. So there's an accountant in hell, and these are the characters. What do you think, Melissa? What do you think, Sarge?
Pretty good. So far, so good.
An account, yeah. Well, that, I guess, that might, would that be poetic justice, maybe?
It might be. She's in charge of keeping track of the souls that they keep and they lose, or the souls that they need to keep hell running. It's going to be a kind of like my kind of comedy in it, too, you know, just subtle, you know, just subtle little shit like that, you know. We got to keep hell running.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. Sounds like a job for Bernie. Sounds like a job for Bernie Madoff, then, huh?
Exactly right. Exactly. Yep. It'll be like that. It'll be, but it's gonna be really dark, and that's what it is. With a little bit of humor, just a touch of sarcastic humor in it, and I think that people can play that, you know. When they're cooking or when they're laying down. So anyway, there you go. All right, everybody. So I will see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay.
So the changes are ambitious.
Okay,
new.
What time will it be tomorrow?
Same time, 7:30. 7:30 is
you.
A for sure thing. Yeah, I know.
It says you.
I woke up a little late. Oliver did not wake me up. When Oliver wakes up, I wake
we'll
up.
See.
It's all Melissa's fault.
We'll see.
Oliver did not wake me up. Okay.
Mm. Well, maybe the solutions
tomorrow.
Will come along to whoop you upside the head tomorrow. Let's see.
He may be. He's building up to it. He's not going to let us down. He'll be up tomorrow. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. I guarantee you, Mr. Solution will talk tomorrow. I guarantee you. It'll be our job to make him talk. He's just pouting right now. All right, guys. Have a safe day. And I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Bye. Of a neon light.